What's poppin'? It's the Thursday show. The Thursday Drew and Mike show in the DealsNindy.com studios. What's poppin'? Mark and Trudy and Joey are here. And we have a, I think, a good show today. Gary Graff is coming on to talk music, which we haven't done in a couple weeks, at least. And with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
American Music Awards, or should I say the Brown and Black Awards?
They're just dumb, insipid awards.
Did you see the rock winners?
No, there were rock. I didn't even expect a rock category to be.
They had
four. It's technically pop slash rock. That's
four
how
pop rock. Migos, Taylor Swift.
Imagine Dragons, probably,
no,
right?
No,
no.
No? I think Taylor Swift won two of them.
Uh-huh.
Migos, and there was one other one that just appalled me. None of them were rockers.
Well,
what's going on?
Start rocking.
I know.
Now! Jeez. And then Mark Ridley is celebrating 40 years of the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak, which is really quite amazing. I mean, it's been there since I've been here in 1991 and always been the tip top.
Happy anniversary, a-hole.
Hey, hey.
It's been the top of comedy since I've been here. I mean, if you want to see a good comedy show in a comedy club, there's no better place. And there just hasn't been. I mean, there's been other places. There have been imposters who've tried. But Mark is the place where you'll find the most black and white pictures of comedians who've sent them to Mark.
That's a measure of the success of a comedy club, if they have the most.
The number of old black and white pictures of superstar comedians on the wall, and he must have the most. I mean, there's a zillion of them.
That and Italian restaurants. Those are
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Exactly. And John Lovitz is there this weekend, and I'm bummed that. Should we make a final plea to Mark when he comes on?
Yeah, we should.
Oh, I'm sure he wants us to talk to John.
Yeah, actually. But you know what? What I found out? Who he's talking to?
Who?
Joanne and Stephen. Or Stephen and Joanne.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they told me that the other day. They were like, he's calling in tomorrow. And I'm like, that bastard! Which is a terrible outburst to have in the middle of an office.
Really?
No.
Used to.
Especially when they're very excited about it.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
But so what?
I'll hold comment.
I'll try to withhold comment too.
Maybe he'll reconsider.
It is a radio station.
Yes.
But okay, well, that's a rough note to start the show on.
Sorry, yeah. I know.
As if the market plunge wasn't enough.
Oh, it's 700 points.
That'll distract you.
Yeah.
I know. I just opened my statement today too, and I was like, "Hey, we're doing okay here," and then you see the TV and the stock market. Oh, 300 points, 400 points, 500 points, 600 points, 700 points. I guess this statement could tear this up for a couple months.
Oof.
And I love all the rich experts on CNBC are just, you know, no problem. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
You know.
I think they like it.
What's it about?
Interest rates, I guess. But you would think they would know that, so.
Why
the ten-year bond yield shot up? That's what they say.
The market.
What's the definition of shooting up? Are we talking about 0.75 points?
2/10 of a point in about a day. Well, that's
that's
a lot,
I mean.
Though. Because
I know,
3%.
Still, although 700 points isn't what 700 points used to be 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's 2.85%. Right,
it would
now be
like the stock market dropping 350 points in 2009, which I would have been shitting bricks over.
Oh, these people look really grim, though.
It's gone. Just don't worry about it. It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone up 100 points since we started. It's gone down another 100 points since we started talking. So, yeah, it's pretty grim.
Fun.
But I think we'll get through it. So, because Gary's going to be on here shortly, we're actually moving the show up because of Gary's fake interview. It's a half hour away.
Who's
Gary? Gary always, one thing about booking Gary, you always feel lucky to get him because he always claims that he's got this, so you got to squeeze in here.
Yes.
And if it's fake, then he's doing a wonderful job of making himself appear to be very wanted. If it's true, then I know he's really busy, but is he really as busy as he seems?
I got to say, after the.
That's an interview, you said.
Once the nominations were announced, he had like 5 stories with interviews of people that were nominated.
So
he had them ready to go, but still, it was boom, 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 boom.
He's outrageously connected. And I didn't read any of the interviews.
I read them all. They were all great.
Who did he talk to? Just so I know not to bring
Kramer
up.
Kramer, I think.
Oh, because MC50.
Yeah.
So did we.
Somebody from Def Leppard.
Oh.
Already?
Yeah. Well, like I said, he could have done it.
Did you talk to Todd Rundgren?
I don't know.
No one.
I'll just ask him to run down the list because I'm sure it's a long list and probably more to come.
And that's why he should have a podcast.
Yep.
Warrior Network should include Todd.
Not Todd. You know, Todd, it would be
Gary.
Nothing. Zero.
Yeah, that's true. Gary
Todd
talking
talks
to Todd.
No one.
Gary
I'm bitter.
Talks to everybody.
You can't tell.
I'm also bitter. I'm two times over bitter. I'm bitter about John Lovitz, and I'm bitter about all these interviews Gary's getting.
I solicited Todd Rundgren yesterday one more time thinking...
He could make it up to you, what he did
right,
to you at Woodstock?
Yeah, twice. No, because he snubbed me when he was in town, too. But no answer, so cricket.
Oh, snub city, and we're such supporters, too. God, Utopia, Naz, Todd on his own.
I risked Joey's wrath by playing his music, blasting it.
What were you playing? God, you know, I didn't think to play any Todd Rundgren music. I've been playing the John Lennon Immaculate Collection of Imagine, which is fantastic, by the way.
Real Man. Love that song. Just One Victory. Love that song.
Wow, I only know one of those two songs. I have some. We have a post-show
real
jam
man.
Session.
Come on, you
what's
know that
from?
One.
Is that from Utopia?
Yeah, it is a Utopia song.
Cool. Everybody, be quiet. Todd's about to masturbate.
Maybe that's why.
Okay. Buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV from the Zot family and DealsNAD.com is different, way different, because getting a good deal is easy. Dealers will cut each other's throats for that half Subway sandwich. No questions asked. Zot could do that too, but that's not the best way to deliver customers a world-class experience. And at DealsNAD.com, they believe it's about people, both customers and employees, and happy, satisfied employees generate incredibly happy, satisfied customers. Price matters, but partnering with people you trust and enjoy is what works the best. A well-rounded experience, not just a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, one-time shot. Shop around if you must, then come see them at Zot. While you're there, play some foosball. Get in the massage chairs, eat fresh popcorn, or kick back and enjoy a good cup of coffee. And your friends from dealers in the D.com. The dealer that cares, only from your friends at deals in the D.com. And then the LOI Center. My sister got an eye
That's
done
right.
today.
Oh, they
did
one
doctor?
At a time, right?
Yeah, one at a time.
Oh. Have you talked to her?
She just texted me that she didn't even know Dr. Yalda was in the room and it was over.
Yeah, it's fast.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is.
So
it's fast.
I think she's pretty pumped, but she's got to get the other eye done.
Did you reply?
Come on, Patty.
I should have, but I did not.
And then she replied,
"Whoa, yeah!"
So Laura, a registered nurse and mother of two, said she has glasses since six. Waking up and falling asleep is amazing. No dried out contacts, no smudged up lenses, no paying an arm and a leg for either. Best decision I've ever made. And with Dr. Yalda's office, you can finance right through them. Shouldn't people say it was like the third best decision they ever made? Can it always be the best decision anyone's ever made?
Well,
like some of these people, haven't they dumped somebody that was ruining their life or adopted a child that's made the difference in their life? But Dr. Yalda's sure. always number one. How can that be?
I'd seeing clearly, that's a pretty stunning
Huge.
Thing.
I agree. I don't know. I'm starting to think these people at Dr. Yalda have no life-changing events besides getting better vision.
Well,
I'm just
good.
Kidding, of
Very
course.
Good. They've got great lives, and now it's better.
I'm sure Laura has many proud achievements and events in her life. She got custom LASIK and got it because he's Michigan's most experienced, and after 30,000 LASIK procedures, he's a master. He won't even do it unless he knows you'll be thrilled with the results. It's why Patty was there today for multifocal lens implants, the Rolls-Royce surgery for people 45+. She'll never need reading glasses and will have great near and far vision for life. Don't settle for mediocre vision with old technology like Laura and thousands of others. Throw it all away and see like an eagle. Call 800-398-EYES. That's 1-800-398-EYES or sign up at the YaldaEyeCenter.com. And I hear Gary Graff's phone ringing. I wonder...
To the multiple listings.
I know. I'm always afraid we're calling the wrong number, too. There's so many issues with Gary. Mr. Big Stuff.
Hey, just briefly, the American Music Awards, the very little part of it that I saw.
Uh-huh.
Lenny Kravitz never disappoints. He's always got, like, the craziest, like, scarf on or, you know, like, just the hippest outfit. He's the hippest dude in the room, right? Now he's got, like, dreadlocks all over.
I agree.
And a beard.
When the camera shot on him, which was to introduce the final Aretha Franklin thing, it was like that was the best I felt the whole show. There's something I know, I understand, that is still the way it's always been. He's always cool.
Yeah. Lenny's,
I would like to see him play, actually.
I know. He didn't?
No.
What? Why?
No, he's not. I guess he's not black enough. I don't know.
No, Lenny's cool.
J-Lo played. I'm so bored of J-Lo. Why J-Lo?
I think it's now it's turned into a, God, she still looks good. How old is she? You know?
No, but she always looks good. That's not... her music just goes right through me. I mean, is there a song where we go, oh my God, I love that song?
I don't know any J-Lo, but I do know many J-Lo movies. The music is the least of the things
that she
does. Her
movies go through me, too. There's nothing she can do but look hot, and even that's starting to go through me. And the A-Rod thing, Tracy Ellis Ross, don't get me started on the American Music Awards. I'll never stop. She interviews A-Rod afterwards. Is Gary there? Uh-oh.
Why do we always have trouble?
Because Gary is very complicated.
I know.
Write the number down again. I wonder if I have it transcribed wrong.
Okay. Oh. Wait.
Never mind. Yeah, there you are.
Gary just freaks everyone out. Wrong numbers are dialed.
He does it on purpose.
Numbers are transposed.
Take you off guard. Right, Gary?
Hey, if you say so.
How you doing?
I did not hear the beginning of that. So
that's a good answer.
I'll just go with the flow here.
Yeah, I know you're right, too. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, this list is exciting every year. It bothers me that there's all these people that get nominated multiple times, but here we are. I think it's 15 new acts. Who does Gary Graff, the Rock and Roll Insider, like, or who should go in first? Who would you like to go in? If you can pick five.
Well, the MC5. Okay. I think it's time. If there's ever going to be a year, this is the year. You know, Wayne's out on the road with the MC50 tour. He has his book out. No, this is the time. They're overdue. You know, definitely they should get in. Definitely Todd Rundgren. You know, he's been over. This is his first time, believe it or not, on the ballot, and he's been eligible since 1995.
Has he been on any of the... He's not been on lists, though. He's been eligible, but not...
Oh, no, he's been on.
Oh, has he?
Oh, yeah. No,
we talking about Todd?
He definitely has been on the list.
But this is his first nomination, right?
But this is his first nominee. He's been on the list, I should say. He's been on the list of those who have been, you know, who have not been included, who should be. Mm. I guess what we call the MC5 list, except they've been nominated.
Cool.
So it's taken Todd a while to be nominated. I'll probably cast a vote for Def Leppard, I think.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, I think they're inevitable.
Yes,
for this
right.
year, they're going to win the fan vote. There's no question about that. So I would definitely put them in there. I think Roxy Music should get in. You know, this is much to a slightly lesser degree, but much like David Bowie, this is a group that launched 1,000 other bands.
You're hitting all the right chords with me. I love all these bands.
Yeah. You're missing two with me.
If you say The Cure next, I'm just gonna be so happy.
Well, not sorry. I think you got to go within the timeline of things. I think you've got to go with Devo.
Oh, okay. No, that's okay. No, I felt like Gary was an older brother
letting his younger brother drive through the lane and just swatted it away, and he felt so bad he allowed you a layup.
I am smiling a little here.
I wasn't looking at the list, but The Cure would have been great, but that's a better selection. Devo, how can Devo not already be? I mean,
and
all these
their,
guys.
And this is their first nomination, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're clearly what's going on with the Rock Hall, and I know we've talked about this before, but now with, and I believe it's partly because HBO is at the helm, and they're really concerned about having a TV show people will watch.
Yep.
They're trying to fill in the blank. They're trying to get the people like Journey 2 years ago, like Chicago, like the Moody Blues last year, and the Cars and Bon Jovi. They're trying to get the bands that have that the Rock Hall has been criticized for shunning, and B, that people want to see, that they'll tune in to see the TV show. So I think that's a big part of why you're seeing some of these groups that have been eligible for a number of years but haven't been nominated finally getting nominated.
It leaves Kraftwerk out, though, doesn't it?
It does leave Kraftwerk out, which I feel bad about. It would leave The Cure on the table. It would leave the Zombies on the table.
Ouch.
Radiohead and Rage Against the Machine, I think, will get in one day and should. Stevie Nicks is a solo artist. Yeah, one day, but you know what? She's already in with Fleetwood Mac. She doesn't need to get in just yet. I think we got to take care of some of these others.
Is her solo career that, you know, we were having this discussion yesterday, and I was saying, I thought her solo career is pretty significant, but is she a solo person that has to go in as a solo person?
She doesn't have to. I think she should one day, but we're not at that day yet.
But she's been in the orbit of many of the people around the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame enough to,
to be nominated.
You know, our joke about that is what? Anybody who was in her orbit.
She'll sleep with.
She falls in love with.
Or falls in love, yeah.
Yeah, orbit's a relative term here.
Now, Gary, by the logic of a TV show and producing a TV show, does that mean it's going to be Janet Jackson and or LL Cool J?
No, because these are multiple nominees that have not gotten in already. I do think that, you know, the folks at HBO realize who would drive viewers away for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, yeah, there's some people in there who have caused debate, especially some rap acts. Although I would contend for most of them, you could make the argument they are rock and roll. But I think when you get into the Janet Jacksons, the LL Cool J's, even the Chaka Khan, who's been on there for a while, even God love him, Chic, who has been the Susan Lucci of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they don't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know, there are other halls of fame for those people.
Would Janet Jackson, is that somebody that brings viewers to HBO?
Well, if it's the right show, if it's an appropriate show, yeah.
You know, to this show? To this show?
Not to this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. What has Janet, other than, you know, the wardrobe malfunction, what has Janet Jackson done that's rock and roll?
Black Cat.
Like I said, other than the wardrobe malfunction. You know, playing with Slash or whoever. Was that Slash or Steve Stevens on that?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, it was one of those guys. Ugh. But just having a shredding electric guitar on one of your singles does not make you rock and roll. Now, you know, but on the contrary, Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 were a lot more rock and roll than Janet was.
Oh, yeah.
So, or
it. Well, those songs crossed over so well. Okay, so who...
The question is whether she can stay in shape for another year to the next nomination.
That's true.
You know, probably. I think she's surrounded by people who can keep her in shape.
Oh, that's good.
She loses weight really fast. Okay, after the five go in that you just said, who would keep you up at night? You're so angry they're still not in.
I'm pleased to say as a person that nobody, but... I'm a real champion of Mitch Ryder. I think, you know, if we're talking, you know, granted there's a little bit of hometown rooting going on here, but he was a seminal and hugely influential rock and roll act. Another one of those who, when you go down the list of the acts who are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, he's a key influence for three quarters of them, if not more.
He gets mentioned a lot, but is there a group behind him? Because it seems
there's no real push for it, and there needs to be to get him on the ballot. I mean, much like John Mellencamp really pushed for Bob Seger years ago, and Paul McCartney lobbied for Ringo Starr. I think somebody needs to pick up the mantle inside an artist and really push Mitch Ryder here.
Will Ted Nugent ever make it in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
You know, it's going to be, it's a long shot because for the obvious reason, you know, if Ted for a few years would not run his mouth, you know, and it's interesting too to see now how he is speaking much more reasonably and less inflammatory now. And that's because I think it's impacted on Ted's business.
Or did it just seem that way because everybody else is elevated?
You know, it could be that way, but I do think he's dialed it down a bit because even when he just did an interview with it was some mainstream media and I'm forgetting which one it was, and you know Ted is a smart guy and when he wants to have smart discourse he certainly can, and he seems to be doing more of that now instead of doing the flame throwing. But I think he's done so much flame throwing that's burned so many bridges. It's going to be a good many years before he'll be considered.
Gary, do you watch the American Music Awards?
No. I caught bits and pieces of it. Went out to see a movie screening last night, so kind of did the scroll through.
Wait, what movie?
The First Man.
Oh, the Neil Armstrong one where
right.
They don't show him putting the flag in the moon.
No, they don't.
Did you lose sleep over that?
I'm not.
Judy.
Sleep was Sleep was involved, but I think we're still embargoed from expressing the opinions about this.
Oh, what? Really?
I'll only say Sleep was involved.
Oh, I forgot it was a screening. Yeah, okay.
It was a screening.
Oh, of course, Mr. Big Stuff.
Before we leave the Hall of Fame, why will Radiohead and Rage Against the Machine have to wait? I mean, they're two of the most unique bands from my generation.
Yeah, I think they're key bands. Radiohead, you know, was one of the first and most notable of the rap rock bands, as well as the potency of their message. I mean, you know, it's certainly what they helped start got bastardized down the road again. Limp Bizkit. But but you know, they're definitely a key band, and so is Radiohead. But having said that, The Cure should get in before Radiohead.
Oh.
You know, and maybe Depeche Mode should get in before Radiohead, because I'm a big fan of lineage, and I think it should make sense who gets in before who.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, I would rather see. I think The Cure should get in there before Radiohead. Not that they're the same band, but The Cure laid groundwork for something that Radiohead followed.
You know what? I'd like them to open the doors to about 20 bands one year, just let everyone that belongs in.
Yeah.
And
yes and no, but that devalues it that year. It really does. One of the initiatives they started, and it's going to be interesting to see how this goes, is last year they started inducting singles, songs into the Hall of Fame. So Procol Harum got in with a song. Link Wray got in with a song. And when Little Steven was in town for the Making Vinyl conference, he and I were talking about that a little, and he said that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the people who run, that their intention was like, that's their induction. So Steppenwolf won't be inducted as a band, but Born to Run will be inducted. Whiter Shade of Pale will
Born to be Wild.
Will be inducted, right. Yeah. But so apparently he said he's taking moves to scotch that, which he should.
Hmm.
You know, just because you're... The song thing, it was so transparent that, yeah, we're trying to get rid of criticism, so we'll do Werewolves of London, so you'll stop bugging us about Warren Zevon.
Hey,
keep bugging him.
Keep bugging him. So you would hate to see that. You'd hate to see that become the, you know, basically the way to put these bands in and then eliminate them for future years.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Moving on. Elton John at Little Caesars Arena Friday night.
Yep. Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. Oh, I'm going Friday, so I forgot about Saturday.
Yeah, well, who cares? I'm going Friday, too. Who cares about the Saturday?
Exactly. What do you think about this tour? What have you heard about it?
I
talked to Davey Johnstone the other day,
the guitar player,
which is as close as you get to Elton. And, you know, it sounds like it's going great. I mean, it sounds like everybody in the band is still a little overwhelmed by the prospect of a three-year tour. You know, whether it's farewell or not, just the prospect of 3 years of committed touring is pretty overwhelming.
Well, Davey Johnstone, he's quite an underrated guitarist, isn't he? You don't hear that name.
I think he is, and it's only because he's in Elton John's group as opposed to a group that has a name of its own.
And Nigel Olsen is still there, right?
Nigel Olsen's still there. He came back, I think, like 15 years ago now. And, you know, it's a solid band, and we have Matt Bissonette from Detroit on bass.
Sweet.
In that band. So it sounds like they're doing it right. It's all hits, or, you know, 90% hits with a few artist choice type songs. Davey said it's going to be changing a little bit as they go into other territory, apparently. You know, and they're going to be mindful of songs that were big hits in, like, South America that weren't necessarily big hits in the U.S. or Europe.
What would those be?
And accommodate those fans.
Good question.
And, you know, he doesn't rule out a fourth year of the tour.
Wow.
As this goes on. So we'll see. We'll see what kind of farewell tour this winds up being.
So
4 years away from his children, then.
Well, no, they go. They bring him out with them. You know, Elton can hire an army of nannies to tour with him to take care of his kids as well as himself.
And I bet he does. So who's missing from the year? D. Murray died, the bass player, right?
Yeah, and he's the only one. Ray Cooper, the percussionist, still goes out.
Ray Cooper's still with them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't just play the tambourine, pretty much?
Well, bongos, timbales. he's a percussionist, Drew.
Cowbell?
He's classically trained.
Yeah, I know. I saw him at the George Harrison concert for George, and he was going nuts on the... I think it was on the tambourine.
Oh,
he was going really nuts.
One of the best concerts. Yeah, one of the best concerts I ever saw was a duo, just he and Elton, down in Toledo.
Really?
And it was great.
Wow.
you know, you can fill a lot of space. So it's really only, you know, D. Murray's the only one missing from the from back in the day.
Oh, and those are great bass lines.
Oh, yeah.
Really
yeah,
good.
Matt, our boy Matt handles them really well. So,
yeah, I was excited about the playlist. I saw Burn Down the Mission on there.
Yeah, that's on there. And, you know, that, so that, but that's been one he's been playing for a while. So, but no, it's going to be a it's going to be a very, you know, it's going to be a very enjoyable night. I mean, you can't go too wrong, you know, with Elton and a catalog like he has.
Now, do you go online to Setlist.fm to see what the set list is to figure out your bathroom songs?
I never go to the bathroom. Those poor people in front of me.
True. Do you go to the set list anyway?
I do. I do. Either I get them from the production people there, or I get them off Setlist.fm.
Of course, you have one step beyond what we get on Setlist.fm, but we'll live with it.
Hey, Elton texts me.
Oh, of course he does. So
he wants you as a nanny.
by the way, I did see some of the American Music Awards and you know caught up to some of it online. So it's not like I don't know what's going on.
Oh, you're afraid you were going to be vilified for not knowing what was going on
Not necessarily, but I did. You know, I did. You brought it up, so you know, I am versed in what went on last night.
Which one of those acts will have the longest lasting effect or the longest career?
21 Pilots. Mm-hmm. Outside of Taylor Swift.
Well, yeah, Taylor's Swift. A different level. Yeah,
that's a different level. But 21 Pilots is well on their way. They're building an audience that goes to see them because they like them and buys their music because they like it.
Is there? Yeah. Would you put an expiration date on Taylor Swift? Because her audience is very female; it's very young, but it's been going on a while.
But it's not just very young anymore. You know, they're growing up and they're staying with her, partly because she's doing the proverbial growing with her audience. What she sounds like in 2008 is nothing like what she sounded like in 2007, or I'm sorry, in 2018 is nothing like she sounded like in 2007.
But did you hear, Gary, she's campaigning for the Democrat in Tennessee, and one of her fans tweeted that she and Taylor Swift are never, ever getting
ever
back together again.
When you do something like, when you do something like that, because we were talking about Nugent before, obviously you're gonna polarize your audience.
And lead to bad blood?
I guess I like that.
That's bad.
But I guess in Taylor's case, she thinks, you know, she feels like she feels strongly enough about it that it's worth that risk, and I do like that she's doing it at least what I feel is a non-shrill way.
Yeah.
You know, she just kind of posted her message, and I like that what she did last night. You know, I'm sure a lot of sphincters tightened when she started to introduce, you know, that topic, but she left it at just go register to vote.
Yeah,
when she posted her message about endorsing the candidate and encouraged people to vote, you know, 600% increase in registration.
Yeah,
you know, in Tennessee.
That's where an artist has the power. For stuff like that. Forget the candidate.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody could just say that instead of all the shrill things?
Right.
And I mean, the world is so full of shrillness right now. I wish everyone, because honestly, if to the winner goes the spoils.
Remember, one of the wildly successful ones is Rock the Vote. Like that was overwhelming success.
Well, they were very, even though you kind of knew what they favored. They kept it. They really kept the message on point to registering people to vote.
And not true.
And you can thank those CD packages for that. All that blank space.
Oh, that's right.
That's why. So
you know, I mean, if we could have, I don't mind artists, you know, speaking out politically or endorsing candidates. I just hate when it becomes, you know, so shrill, and you know, just leave room for discussion.
Because it's coming out of a woman yelling at somebody in an elevator, right? That's not the shrill we're talking about, or is it?
That was shrill.
Shrill.
It's not It's not terribly preachy either.
Yes, right.
No, telling people to vote.
Just vote.
I don't know that.
Hey, I got a question. Gary, have you already screened Bohemian Rhapsody out November 2nd?
No, not yet. That's actually, it's still being edited. And and that's the thing with these movies. They'll edit right up until the premieres. So nobody's seeing the full cut yet. Huh. But you know, we're certainly seeing, you know, lots of pictures, lots of trailers. And all reports from people, you know, again, this is inside the organization. But people seem to be very, very impressed you know, with what they've done, and with the acting and with the story. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see that.
Will you keep us posted on the end of the embargo for that when you do screen?
I will. I will send.
Gary,
I will do that, and we can talk. And hopefully, you know, what could be a good fall for music movies? How about A Star Is Born?
Oh yeah.
Have you seen that?
Really, really good.
Really.
You know, it may be. And again, it's because it's 2018 production values and everything. I think it may be the best of the four Star Is Born, however we go with that. And partly because the music's the best. You know, they brought in real songwriters, and it's not like Lady Gaga's not a real songwriter.
What about Bradley Cooper? Can he sing?
Yeah.
Huh.
She was ranting and raving.
I'd also talked with Lucas Nelson, Willie's son, who that's his band, Promises of the Real, is Bradley's band in the movie. And he said that, you know, Bradley took it seriously. You know, he taught him how to hold a guitar, you know, taught him how to do chording, you know, that he got vocal training, and he, you know, he did everything you're supposed to, much like Joaquin Phoenix in Draw the Line.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah.
One more reason to hate Bradley Cooper if you're a guy.
I know. Got it all.
He'll always be the elephant man.
To hate if you're a guy. Okay, you know, he's not alone. You know, you can just line him up.
Gary, you mentioned Limp Bizkit earlier.
I did.
And Drew and I have been talking about this a little bit off the air, and I will say this. I know they're not good. They're the worst lyrics in the history of music in my mind, but they are like the guiltiest of pleasures for me. And I was just wondering, do you have like a guilty pleasure, a band that maybe not a lot of people like or shouldn't like, but you still, there's something about them that you enjoy?
You know, I actually don't mind Limp Bizkit. They're just fish in a barrel when it comes to making comments like that. I've been known to bang a little head at a Limp Bizkit concert.
What about Nickelback?
For that.
That's mine. Well,
I don't
I've got
mind.
A
no,
list.
They're another one I don't. Nickelback or the Bachman Turner Overdrive of this generation.
That is a great comparison.
You know, meat and potatoes. You know,
I like some BTO songs.
I like them too.
And everybody
likes
some Nickelback songs.
I don't. I got to tell you, Mark, I don't feel guilty about anything I like, and never have.
Okay.
Listen, without opinion, I wouldn't have a job. I don't ever feel a need to apologize for liking something.
I think we've talked about this, but we were talking about Steve Perry the other day and how incredibly soft he is. So soft, in fact, that the fire department uses him when people have to jump out of a building.
It's a safe landing.
It is. It is. And the new album, but the, you know, we've wanted, you know, at the same time you say that, and then you say, well, when's Steve Perry coming back? You know, what we really want, of course, is him back with Journey, and that's not going to happen. You know, I got a chance to talk to him as well a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
And I got to admit, you know, much like when you talk to Robert Plant, or at least I do, and you understand that Robert Plant is not in Led Zeppelin for all the right reasons, it's the same thing with Steve Perry. Been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, done with it. Hmm. It really is. He wants to move on. He wants to do his own thing. He has no desire to compete with what he once was. And to me, that's, if it's sincere, and it certainly seems to be, that's admirable. That's what makes an artist an artist.
Will he go out?
I think he will. I think the offers are going to be too good not to. I think they're going to be smart and not try to overplay him. So you're going to see him at a Fox Theater before you see him at a Little Caesars Arena.
But he'll have to play those Journey songs.
Oh, he will. He'll play the Journey songs. He's not running away from having been in Journey. He just doesn't want to be in Journey anymore.
I always thought it was because maybe the songs were in such a high register he couldn't hit the notes anymore, but is there anything to that?
There are, sure. I mean, you know, part of, and same with Robert Plant and Led Zeppelin, part of not wanting to be in that band anymore is a feeling that you can't do it as well as you did it when you were originally in the band.
We're watching some of the O2 Zeppelin show from 2006 or 7, and I thought Plant sounded pretty damn good.
Oh yeah, he did, and he worked really, really hard to do that, and he just doesn't want to work that hard again.
Oh,
okay.
Right.
You know, he just doesn't feel the need to do it. He knows that there's only one, you know, one way to do it right. You know, and to do it night after night. It's one thing to get up there and do it for a one-off.
There wasn't
but to do it, you know, but to have to do it night after night, and have that kind of discipline. He's just not interested. Neither Steve Perry nor Robert Plant.
There was yet another Nirvana reuniting concert.
Yeah, I'm putting that Cal Jam.
I'm putting that in air quotes because they've done this numerous times. It's just when Chris decides to show up. Would they ever tour or do a tour where they do Nirvana songs?
The only way I could see them touring is you would is like as the special guest segment of a Foo Fighters show, like they did it out at the festival over the weekend.
So who was Kurt?
Let's say you know Foo Fighters are on tour, then 6-8 songs every night are, you know, Chris comes out, plays bass, and you do a Nirvana mini set.
Hmm.
Who's Kurt?
Joan Jett sang.
Joan Jett sang a little bit.
Yeah, Joan Jett. You know, she did it with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction too.
I think Taylor Hawkins should be Kurt, and they should go out together because he looks like him. And
he has the look. Yeah, he has the look, but he's Taylor can't frown. That's the thing.
Yeah, he can't be moody.
He doesn't know how.
Give him some heroin.
He doesn't know how. He won't do that.
Get him more heroin.
That's a guy who doesn't need any kind of drug. He's plugged into a light socket. 24/7.
He used to have a problem though, didn't he?
He did.
Well, he's doing all right. So Foo Fighters doing pretty well too. But Dave Grohl's got a long way to go. Who knows?
Oh yeah, no, there's a lot that could be done.
Could happen. Okay, Gary, thanks so much as always.
My pleasure, and look forward to doing it again.
You bet. We'll talk soon.
Okay, have a good night.
Thanks, Gary. Graf on Music on Twitter.
We
Here's
got him
a good
out
follow.
2 minutes before his next.
Oh, wow. Boy, yikes.
I didn't realize it was so tight. Okay, well, that being the case, we should take care of something else. Mark Ridley coming up in 45.
Yeah, this Nirvana show was only 25 minutes. It's only six or seven songs.
Who's singing now?
Is it Dave?
No, because he's on drums.
Wait, that's Dave back there?
Dave's on drums. There's Chris on the right, and then Pat Smear.
Oh. Huh.
It's John McCauley, whoever that is.
Never heard of him.
Probably in a band we all know, but don't know who he is.
Funny, I don't feel like I'm watching Nirvana, but well.
Hey, want to tell you about Hoop McInerney Starlink, and the 2019s are all in at Star, and already appearing are the 2019 Lincoln MKCs. You can get a 2019 MKC for leases as low as $331 a month. X and A plan customers, you're going to get even more remarkable savings. And Conquest buyers, if you're looking for a Lincoln, you can save thousands on the Continental, America's foremost luxury sedan, and Marcus's car. Brandon's a neighbor we
found. Oh, man.
It's a sharp-looking car.
Nice ride.
And the brand-new Nautilus is already appearing at Hoop McInerney Starlink, and the Nautilus comes standard with safety extras that otherwise will cost you thousands of dollars, like 22-way adjustable seats. It's got blind spot monitoring, lane centering technology, keep you flowing down the lane. It's got all the tech package you could ever want, and it's only available in the Nautilus. Get the Star treatment, the free loaners, the free pickup and delivery, the immaculate showroom and service area, and a welcoming staff of sales pros, including Jimmy D, our very own guy. Give him a call at 855-567-STAR. He knows everything on the lot and how we can get you in them. Or you can email him, jimmyd@starlincoln.com. It's all at Hoop McInerney Star Lincoln for 50 years. The legendary jewel among Detroit Lincoln dealerships. It's at 12 and Telegraph in Southfield.
Was the Hall Financial Hotline quietly activated?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Under the radar.
It sure was. You barely heard
softly.
It.
I forgot to mention the free appraisal if you originate a loan with Hall Financial. Yeah, I thought I heard it, but just maybe I spaced out. That's crazy. Anyway, yeah, the Hall Financial, click the link on our website if you want to go direct or call them at 248-308-5000. And I want to mention Mark Kupfer, who sent me an email. I'm an avid listener and just leased my new Lincoln from Jimmy D at Star Lincoln.
Ooh.
Right.
Says he was not happy with his previous Lincoln dealer. God, I wish more people would say that. Not that I wish people a bad experience, but and contacted Jimmy to see what he could do. My first email was on a Monday, and by Thursday, he was delivering my new MKZ to my house in Brighton.
Nice. Let's race.
Service. We did everything via email and text. Overall, wow, that's...
Yeah, isn't that great? I know, and they brought it to him.
Really
unusual. You don't even have to go to the dealership.
They don't really like that, usually, at dealerships. They usually want you to come in.
Well, they understand, though, that that's where people are at now.
Apparently so. Jimmy D gets it. Overall, great experience. I'm doing my best to steer people to both the podcast and Starlink and keep killing it. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark Kupfer, Manigault Newman. Moonves.
Manigault Newman, Stuart Moonves.
Yes. Good man,
That's
Mike.
Funny.
And I hope we get more emails like that because we need this. We need to keep Lincoln on board. I hope.
Hey, I know you love books.
I do.
You know, Mitch Albom's book is out.
Oh, Trudy, can you read some highlights from the Washington Post review, please? Oh, my God.
Lord. A guy named Ron Charles, who I'm sure, I don't know, Mitch probably has a contract on him, but he reviewed it for the Washington Post.
Are you surprised this actually was printed? I would think that somehow it would be
owners.
Stopped.
Different owners.
Remember, I know. But remember when the Free Press, they had an outsider review of the book, and it wasn't this book. Maybe it was this book.
It was the prequel to this.
It was poorly reviewed, and I think it got scotched. I think didn't they remove it?
Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
And people were pissing and moaning about it.
The Free Press did not publish it, but the other, who owned the Free Press?
Mitch Pitched a Fit.
Knight Ritter or whatever that company was, Scripps
Howell, right.
whoever the fuck owned it.
I don't think the Free Press pitched a fit. Who else would pitch a fit?
No, the Free Press didn't run it, but their other papers did.
But I'm just amazed that you could actually stop a review. That's so un-American.
Power of Mitch.
But the headline was... reading the next person you meet in heaven is hell. Trudy, you were going over some highlights.
Well, one of my favorite lines from the review was, let's see, where did I write that? Oh, the inanity.
Oh boy. That's great.
Don't write
that
me
had
a book,
sting.
Kid.
And that it's like scrolling through the Instagram of a new age misuse.
Now, the Free Press printed a section of the book, like a preview over the weekend.
Yes.
You didn't go through it, did you?
Oh, no, I did not.
Oh, yeah, it's so fucking trite.
Are there comments?
You know what? I didn't even
see it. Probably disabled them.
That's a great question, Drew.
You know there would be. There's always comments.
It was so dumb. I actually read some of it because it was very. I feel like he's a young adult writer. He's writing for, I don't know, for females in their late teens or something. Well, just the way he writes.
The funny thing is, as long as we have critiqued Mitch Albom, we've never been criticized for critiquing him. It's like our audience is the polar opposite of his audience. It really must be. And frequently people send stuff to me, did you see what Mitch wrote? And I'm always like, oh, yes, I saw what Mitch wrote. And to his credit, I mean, he's out there. He does a million things. He's got a new project every 10 minutes. He's very successful.
He's relevant.
I'm extremely jealous of him in a lot of ways,
but there are comments.
The critic writes that this sports writer should become our national correspondent on the afterlife is probably the best proof we have that God works in mysterious ways.
What a great writer.
But America has always been thirsty for sugary elixirs of spirituality diluted in platitudes.
Well, here's
sick burn.
There's two paragraphs from the book. The wooden barrel crashed to the water's surface and dropped in quiet submersion. Annie yanked herself through the opening of a vast greenish deep. It seemed more like a sea than a base of a waterfall. She windmilled her arms and spun her head, her hair swirling around like tentacles.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Up above, she saw a circle of light, like the flat end of a telescope. She swam towards it.
Who reads this?
Young adults?
Really? Honest to God, I guess there's just a whole sappy world out there that I'm not around. There's got to be.
Yeah. This one is based on the girl that was saved from the previous five people you meet in heaven by the Eddie guy.
Yeah.
And then...
does she finally die?
I don't know. I guess she does.
Yeah, Eddie died, but he had saved this girl.
Life, yeah.
So the book's about him meeting five people in heaven.
Right. And
then
she goes...
I'm embarrassed that I even know this.
She took a half step and tripped over something in the sand.
What was it?
Down, she saw a stone marker. As the seawater rolled over it, two words were revealed. Eddie. Maintenance. Hey, kid, a gruff voice said. You mind not standing on my grave? Eddie's back!
Oh my God!
How cool!
You want to hear some, let's see, comments. Another thin book from the Mitch man.
Thin.
It's still spaced, but it's 250 pages.
They talk about her dog and this dude. Boy, this guy goes, maybe the next one will be about what her dog experiences in heaven. Five dogs it meets there.
Does incite a lot of sarcasm.
Almost every other comment on here is somebody making thousands of dollars at home.
I know it's always
and
in
then,
there.
And then at the bottom, I love the Kwame Sutra.
Really?
Aww.
Oh, is that Elric?
That's from Greg. No, well, unless he has an alias that comments on Mitch's articles.
Okay. Hmm.
How dumb.
Oh, my.
I can't wait for his next book signing at my Costco.
You know, I really? See book signings for him when because I go to bookstores a lot, and I always think, people really, I guess they must show up. I
mean, oh, yeah, lines out the door.
It's only 224 pages. That is a thin book.
It's double spaced.
24 bucks for that?
24 bucks?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. And the Detroiters are going to be at his charity book launch.
Oh, okay. Is this to raise money for Haiti again? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, the Detroiters are going. God.
I know. It pisses me off.
The Detroiters, that sarcastic show. I mean, it's a funny whatever. If he's on the Detroiters, that means we'll never make the Detroiters. We'll never be referenced.
Never.
Yeah, boy. You know, also on a local note today, Rod and Mario, it's official. They're out.
Did you read that whole article that Lynn Henning wrote?
I read one article. I'm not sure it was Lynn's, though. The article I read was not very long, so what did Lynn say?
Well, first off, he wrote, how much they make.
Which is not that much, is it?
500 grand for Mario?
Oh, I didn't think it was anything like that.
That's what he said.
Okay.
It says 500 grand.
What did Rod make?
Guess.
Rod?
300.
350.
Okay.
Oh, no wonder.
What if that was
Hi,
it?
Mario.
Maybe that's why he choked him.
There was a brief, so the day when he choked Mario.
Yes.
Over a chair.
Allegedly. There was a brief pregame spat over the chair, which Southside's agree had little to do with the final fireworks. The prickly words from Mpemba about an early afternoon interview between Rod Allen and Jim Aducci, the outfielder.
Really?
That Mpemba believed Rod Allen had postponed out of convenience. Rod Allen was furious not only because he believed Mpemba's charge was baseless, but because he viewed the interview as none of Mpemba's concern. That seems like a very petty argument.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm not sure how that affected Mario.
Yeah, why does he care?
You know, honestly, though, in the end,
it gets better.
Did Rod choke Mario?
That's yeah.
And does Mario deserve to be fired because he was choked?
Well, come on, we all know it's a little more than that.
Well, but in the end, I mean, honestly, people that don't get along can get along and do something like that.
As often has been the case between the two broadcasters who got on each other's nerves late during a game on September 4th. Well, by the way, Mario doesn't lose his job. They're just not re-upping him. So this could be an opportunity to take advantage of that.
Yeah. The only reason I'm sympathetic to Mario, and honestly, I don't think he's the
best.
Plus,
he's white.
Well, that's what I was kind of wondering. If the optics of firing the black guy
over a fight
and blaming him. Yeah. You know, is that the way we are? Is that the way we go now? Is that fair?
That's.
I think it's just easier to get rid of them both.
Yeah, I think it is easier. But why were people going to scream? Oh, they blame the black guy. Well, the black guy choked the white guy.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to get into all this because I don't know the whole of it. I don't. You know, maybe Mario squeezed his balls first. I don't know.
Gross.
Just saying.
Oh, he had his hand in the chair.
He was falling, and he just grabbed for something, and he grabbed his dick.
I feel like they should explain.
Like a rope.
And then Rod blew up.
And then they had to both go.
He was hard over his interview with Jim Aducci. And that's
but
why Rod.
Because Mario grabbed him, they just assumed that he got him hard.
Hi, Mario.
And then they had to go. Now they both have to go.
That's why Mario was mad that the interview was so late, because he knew he'd be hard when he came into the booth, and if Casey fell and grabbed it, he'd rather grab it.
It's a lot to think about. I mean, it takes your eye off the ball. The game is what's important, and here they are worried about how hard Rod is after his interview.
I didn't know this part because I don't watch baseball on September 4th, but late near in the game on September 4th, there was a 43-second blackout when Mpemba, irked by what he believed was Rod Allen's fixation on emails, Twitter, and text rather than the game, sounds like mass, decided he would boycott the microphone as retaliation.
What? Really?
Nothing was said for 43 seconds in a baseball game, so at least one pitch.
Wow.
That's ludicrous if he did that.
What's just the sound of the game in the background then?
Yeah.
Coming through the mic? Plays being played, stuff like
that. So wait, Rod didn't fill the space?
I don't know. It just says a 43-second blackout.
Okay, this is interesting. I haven't heard a word about that. Huh? I mean, a 43-second blackout seems like something, although people... No, but you can hear the crowd noise.
Yeah.
You can hear the crack of the bat.
Yeah.
They just didn't say anything. The extended uncomfortable
stretch. That's a lot of dead air.
So after the game, during a spontaneous and bizarre episode outside the visitor's TV booth, that's where it happened, about the chair.
Where's the chair drop, by the way?
And Pemba walked out of the booth and found Rod Island standing 10 to 20 feet away in a narrow corridor. Neither of the men were in the mood for pleasantries following an icy broadcast. And notably, the riff over Allen's canceled the Ducci interview. Oh, the interview got canceled.
Ooh.
I missed that part.
Ooh.
In a split second, it turned physical. And Pemba's side alleges that Allen refutes vigorously that Allen placed his hands on the sides of Mpemba's neck. No punches were thrown. It was broke up quickly by three NBC Sports Chicago freelancers.
Wait, so this is a fight? A fight is two people fighting. Are we so this is not just a one choking the other.
Yeah, but no punches thrown. So he could have put his hands on his neck and he get off me and then shoved him or something.
Boys will be boys.
Ron Allen got busy with his post-game work, which he managed without evidence that a fight had just occurred a few feet away. And Pemba headed for a cabin sanctuary in his room at a downtown Westin hotel.
Oh, sulky.
Yeah. Both were ordered to fly back, and I think we know the rest.
Wow.
That's crazy, man.
Ouch.
Yeah, you know, I thought the Tiger broadcasts were comfortable to listen to, generally.
They were fine.
Yeah, they were fine.
Special.
They could do better. You know, they clearly have been trying to spice it up with Kirk Gibson and Jack Morris. And I guess the telling part will be who replaces them, and are they good? Are they fresh? Is it,
yeah,
you know, maybe they go younger? I don't know. I feel bad if it's, you know, I guess it sounds like it's a contribute. I mean, 43 seconds of dead air. I blame two people for that because either one of them could have talked.
Yeah. Well, that would be annoying if one person's on Twitter and email and text.
Yeah, it is. But I still think the product is what counts. And to boycott the microphone for 43 seconds, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But, you know, Mario's 55 years old. Rod's 58. What's the next job for those guys? That's pretty...
By the way, Rod Allen has back issues, and rigid seats are important.
Oh, the chair is a
Oh,
big
please,
deal
let's not
that.
Let's not try to act like it's
when he arrived,
okay to
he
choke someone over a chair.
He expected the more supportive chair to be his. His back's good enough to choke somebody.
You know, wouldn't it be fun to actually have these two guys play the argument out?
Ah, that
actually
would be
hear
great.
Their sides of it.
This is funny. There were three chairs in the tightly packed booth. Only one of which was sturdy, one in Pemba had mindlessly or perhaps carelessly decided to occupy when it rested in his broadcast spot. And that
it
was the one.
Wait, it rested in his broadcast
spot. Somebody moved his chair.
Someone moved the chairs around.
Someone has fully analyzed this.
I know. That's what's hilarious about it.
Wow.
Are you mad I took this chair, he asked, according to the source. That's what he said to Allen because Allen was pissed.
And Rod said, we know.
Then he lunged at him. Or... did he lunge?
It doesn't say.
He has a bad back. Lunging.
It doesn't say.
Okay.
Then it just goes into their history. Oh, well, they're done.
Wow.
Did you guys see?
Oh, unbelievably childish.
This Is Us. They had a...
The chair.
The three women of This Is Us.
Did you just ask me if I saw This Is Us?
No, I was going to say on the Today Show, they had the three women
who
are on the cover of People magazine. And so they were talking that they had, that was their pop starts part of the program, you know, on when Today Show runs out of like heavy news to do. And then they do goofy shit.
We now come back from
there's a clip.
And they had them all like sit on a chair together. Or it was all based on this. Well, it was not a chair. Obviously, it had to be a big piece of furniture, and they were all three
the
on it, alternately answering, you know, who their favorite royal was.
Oh, Christ, who cares?
Hey, their favorite royal.
Where they'd go on vacation and stuff like that.
Oh, my God, who cares?
And worst fashion idea or something like that.
Whatever Chrissy's wearing. Is that the answer? Because it should be.
Chrissy Metz, I assume, was one of the three.
She was one of the three. And
that's just another challenge for the chair.
That she's sitting
on. She had to be in the middle of Mandy Moore and whoever the other girl.
How many Mandy Moores did Chrissy look like?
She looked like four. Three and a half or four.
Wow. That's my usual guesstimate.
Yeah. Right. And then Mandy Moore tried to piss them all off by saying she was going to start climbing Mount Everest in her time.
Lord, I can't believe you watched it.
Doesn't seem like it might be rude to bring up climbing Mount Everest with Chrissy Metz in the room.
Yeah, I'm sure they're used to it.
I want to see her do it.
In a weird way, it seems rude.
It does seem kind of.
If you're visiting Walter Hudson when he weighed 1,000 pounds, you know, when he had to be carried on the top, would it really be cool to talk about, I'm going to get ready to climb Mount Everest?
Yeah,
I mean, that would be rude.
Or I'm going to run a marathon.
Into your house.
Yeah. Or even say you ran a,
fat.
Yeah, I just came from the gym. I was working out.
Yeah, I ran a, 11.6 100 meter. How about that?
Well, what's worse, walking in just eating a bunch of pizza in front of him?
Oh, maybe, yeah, that would
and
be.
And he's not allowed to?
Well,
that'd be harsh.
No one did that. They knew they would pay for that.
This is us reminding me. Is anybody else still watching Manifest? Are you still watching it?
Yeah.
It is so goddamn funny.
I watched a little bit of it last night, actually. I don't know if it was the new one. It was whatever one was recorded here.
Right.
Yeah, that might have been 2 weeks ago. Okay. I don't know. What happened in it? It was generic black detective laying down the law because he's been on top of it.
I was a little lost, to be honest.
It's so dumb. It is so dumb.
I don't understand where they're going with
that. No, and I don't care. That's the best part about it.
An eyebrow girl is terrible. So intense.
Terrible. So the acting's terrible. The story is dumb.
I think I like
and
eyebrow
girls. I can't
stop
watching it.
I think I like her eyebrows.
Well, really?
Isn't that weird?
I think she's cast because her eyebrows make her look intense.
Yeah,
she plucked her eyebrows.
She does
be
look
all
intense.
Yeah.
I love how quick she got back on the job. Been gone for 5 years.
So what? Explain the what are the one main
better eyebrows.
What are the main conflicts in the show? Okay, a plane left from, was it Jamaica to?
Yeah, something like that.
And it was in the air for 5 years.
Yep.
And no one who's in the plane understands why 5 years went by.
And nobody who was on Earth, was back in the regular time, understood.
And so what is that causing?
Well, everybody's banging someone else now, basically.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest.
Like, Eyebrows' boyfriend has married her best friend, of course.
Oh!
And then Eyebrows' brother was married when he left, and now she's banging some other dude.
Yeah.
Which kind of resolved itself in a ludicrous fashion.
Yeah, I know. He's like,
you'll never have to even meet him.
How about second chances? And they got it. Oh.
Wouldn't the answer to that just be a polyamorous couple? Like, just have that guy move in and all three of them start banging?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't the weirdest thing, though, that they get back and everyone's 5 years older?
Yeah.
That part seems
really weird.
Yeah.
Because if you're married to somebody, let's say, 11, 12 years older, and suddenly they're 17 years older,
well,
that would be weird.
There were twins, because the one boy is still the same age, and the sister's older, and now she's dating his best friend. It's like, do these people just keep the tightest orbit?
Mind blown.
How do they explain that? I mean,
and he's just like, I wish I had my old toys, none of these are like them. And I'm like, oh, for God's sake, suck it up, dude.
And then she confronted her twin brother, and he's like, well, he was my best friend. She goes, no, I am.
Bitch.
Toward what end?
No. She means she is the twin's best friend. Like, he was never your best friend. It was always me.
But so the twins are 5 years apart now.
Yes.
Yeah. Honestly, it looks more like they're 8 years apart.
Oh, I know.
Where the fuck is this going? I mean,
that's
what I don't care. Shit. It's awesome.
What it's about. So what happened? Is it like.
The second episode ended with what some people were saying was like the smoke monster from Lost. This lady, they're not supposed to talk to the media, and this lady's blabbing all over to the media.
Oh, right.
And she's just sitting on the couch, and you see this shadow move in, and then all this blood just appears on
the
TV.
On the screen. Yeah.
So you're thinking a monster killed her. But then, of course, because, there's all this science fiction, aspect to it. Then, of course, in the next episode, they solve the murder, and it was just their housekeeper.
Okay,
that she was back?
Which you just wasted a whole episode on me.
The idea that you can't tell the media. Are you kidding me?
No, I know.
Who doesn't tell the media anything?
Hey, if generic
if
generic black investigator from the TSA tells you not to talk to the media, you don't talk to the media.
You can't not talk to the media. Everyone talks to the media.
It's so
the
bad.
Media would be all over that story.
It's such a bad show.
Well,
What time's Mark?
5:15.
Oh, okay. I should write that.
Because you mentioned TV, maybe we should just wrap up the AMAs. Are a lot of people still watching the AMAs?
Ugh. I didn't watch but a second of it.
How can that get any viewership if the Emmys didn't?
Yeah.
The Emmys still get 10 million people. I mean, that's still a big audience. I mean, that's got to be top five for the week. But it used to be, I mean, they used to get 25 million, probably. The AMAs used to be a giant show. You know, it was disturbing, the whole thing about people, you know, Taylor Swift winning a rock, pop rock, and there's no real rock category. It wasn't just a standalone rock category. I'm like, what the fuck? Really? It's fallen that far? So I was bummed about that. Trudy and I were talking about J-Lo and the whole business of why is she always in these shows? What the fuck?
Because she's pleasing to the eye.
Are there people that still buy J-Lo songs? I mean, are her songs still charting and stuff?
Maybe she has. Does she have a new album?
Is it A-Rod? Did A-Rod just blow J-Lo up again? Well, we know he blows her up. He fills her full of air, but
she's been around doing stuff.
Por Prima Vez is her new album.
For the first time.
Also, the whole business of XXXTentacion.
Yeah.
Winning, and you know, and this really polite crowd.
There's instruments.
Yeah, there were some instruments. There were actually musicians occasionally, but it really is the American Dancing Awards. I mean, honestly, it is. Cardi B, by the way, or no, Mariah Carey did a song where she was performing in the middle of this big flower, and the petals all suddenly had men come out of them and start dancing and holding hands. Doing opposite sit-ups, like one was going up while the other was going down. and all this weird stuff. They were on their backs. It was really weird.
Oh, by the way, on Family Guy, man, the biggest smack on Mariah Carey ever.
Oh, really? On Family Guy? I love Family Guy.
Do you guys have that? I mean, it's Brian is still married to the cancer.
It's Panic at the Disco doing
Bohemian Rhapsody.
And the guys from the movie introduced him.
That's that pansexual guy.
Yes.
Good God.
He's very theatrical.
He hit all the notes, but I don't think he hit them the way I wanted to hit them.
No.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I don't... He's married, right?
Yeah, but he likes to bang dudes.
Right. I have an ethical question. If you're married, but you're pansexual, bisexual, which is the same thing to me. I don't know. Apparently I'm missing something, but I don't know why he doesn't just say I'm bisexual. Isn't that kind of fucked up for your wife? Because you're telling dudes like, hey, by the way, I like to boo-foo, so, you know, give it a shot.
Nah, she's cool with it.
Maybe she is cool with it. I don't know.
That's what he acted like. She's totally cool.
She's cool with him boo-fooing people.
I guess. Or getting boo-fooed.
Really?
I don't know.
She doesn't want to.
Oh, it seems
rude. She
don't
want any part of that, so.
It just seems rude to say my butthole's open for business when you're married. When you're married. He's with this chick. He's committed to her, right?
Well, she doesn't want anywhere near that butthole.
Whether it's dudes or maybe she pegs him. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Apparently that wasn't enough. It just wasn't realistic enough being pegged. I've got to have the real thing.
John Stamos and Busy Phillips introduced something or gave away an award. And they said that, is Busy Phillips have a late night TV show coming up?
She does?
I thought they said that.
On what?
And I got to tell you, her voice is piercing. I don't know if I could watch a show with her.
She's shrill.
She's shrill. Speaking of Busy Phillips, she accused James Franco of assaulting her, I think.
Yeah, when they were younger.
She has a book, I believe.
I think the prep said he probably just knocked the wind out of her.
Okay.
Pushed her down.
Oh, yeah. You are correct.
And whoever wrote that, I don't know who it was.
Is James Franco, is he in penance right now? Is he in purgatory, entertainment purgatory for a while?
I think it's his own purgatory because James Gunn just got a job. Whoa. Remember James Gunn, the guy that was fired from...
The pedophile tweets.
Yeah, he got fired from Marvel, so DC's like, oh my God, we suck so bad, we'll take that guy.
I want to say,
again,
too,
you're talking about tweets versus Franco's a legend, you know.
Well, I wonder if the Franco stuff isn't worse. I mean, there's quite a few people who've come forward and have a problem with James Franco. I don't really know.
Oh, you mean worse than what we've heard?
Well, I don't know. You wonder. And then Carrie Underwood, who, thanked her fans for supporting her during the Scar era.
Ugh. Did you see the new picture of the Scar? Ugh.
She's repulsive. They blacked the screen, fortunately, when she was on it, so we didn't have to look at her. I'm kidding. But I think... I don't know. I could be wrong about this. I think she got new boobs.
Oh, really?
But maybe that's way back when. I don't know. because I don't know if you remember this, but when we talked about this, I thought, has she gotten a new nose or something? Is there something she's trying to draw attention away from by talking about the scar? Because the whole conversation sounds weird to me. First of all, you know, this, I just want to prepare you for my awful face, you know, and then she looks perfect as always. And she's beautiful. It just sounded so dumb. And then she keeps saying 40 to 50 stitches. Do you really get 40 to 50?
No.
Don't you know how many stitches you get when you get a lot of stitches?
Yeah.
The new picture was like right here, and that's it. There's no way that would be 40 to 50 stitches.
Falling,
there's
walking.
Space for that many.
Yeah.
Like walking your dog, too. Yeah.
Well, you're
But maybe she popped some new boobs in there. They look good, by the way.
I mean, if that's what you look like,
everybody's looking for the scar.
When you fall on your face, I might start falling on my face. Maybe it'll make me more attractive.
It's possible.
She looks great.
She seems hotter than ever.
What's she add on here? Do you know? Did she win something or did she perform?
She was probably 2 hours in or so.
There's Billy Eichner.
Maybe less than 2 hours in. She sings. And which, by the way, went right through me. I didn't even hear the song. I didn't hear one note. She's in that category of people that their music isn't obnoxious enough to hate it, but you don't like it, so it just sort of, it's like it didn't happen.
Yeah,
it's pretty innocuous.
And then, Tracy Ellis Ross, it's funny. I was reading about her today. Everyone thinks she's the greatest host. Why does she host everything? I don't get it.
Well, she's supposed to be really funny, I guess, right? I don't know why I don't like her. I don't watch. I guess because I don't watch that show, so I don't know anything about it.
That's like the only thing she's been on is one show.
She had a big dancing open, which usually that's, you know,
neat.
Whenever they do that, people are like, oh my God, did you see the pathetic open? And it's like, oh my God, the dancing open was so wonderful. She danced to all the hits.
Oh, that's cool.
Who cares?
And I think she sang along.
Amazing.
Oh, look. Gross. Wait. Oh, she's pregnant. Is she pregnant now?
Yeah,
or she
she's pregnant now.
Okay.
Yes.
She should not be there. She has trouble.
Yeah, that's right. She could lose this child because she had to sing.
Get off your feet.
And nobody wants to see her scar anyway.
She's kind of having a bad hair day. If I can be shallow.
However, she can only sleep when she's at her hometown in Oklahoma. She can't sleep anywhere else.
She looks tired.
Ugh. Okay. Right. That's terrible. Hi.
Brandon in the house?
Yeah. Good. Oh. I had a pee.
Oh, XXXTentacion, I just want to mention that he won the best soul R&B album. And, you know, the crowd was, of course, very emotional. Journey to the microphone for his mother, who accepted the award. And then I'm thinking, wait, this is a guy that used to torture his pregnant wife? And I looked it up. 7 domestic violence felonies, including witness tampering, witness harassment, battery against a pregnant woman, false imprisonment. Then he violated his bond, used household objects to sexually assault her, threatened to kill her every day, she said.
Oh, wow.
And yet the crowd's cheering for this guy.
Oh.
So if you die, all that stuff goes away?
I guess. People look back and, you know, see it in a different light.
And, you know, Cardi B, too, it's interesting. You know, she's been seen assaulting people on camera. I mean, it's not just like a figment, like, did she or didn't she? She
did it evidence
at events where there were lots of people. And her security crew beat the shit out of that guy. And she's got, multiple racist tweets. She falsely accused a white cop of roughing her up, and they had video from the area that showed that it didn't happen, and I think she erased her tweets. It's like on and on and on and on, but she's like perfectly within the zeitgeist, and nobody's upset about it. I guess if you make music, all these offenses don't matter.
And you can dance.
Yeah, if you can dance. And by the way, there was so much raving about her performance, and like, there's like 1,000 dancers on stage, and she sang one of those stupid songs that was a big hit. Ugh. And some guy came out in a grocery cart and rapped, and I couldn't understand a word he said. I think it might have been Spanish. I don't know. Did you see it, Brandon?
I did see it, and yes, I do believe it was kind of like, I don't know, it was like a salsa mix.
Was there Espanol in the song?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But the crowd loved it.
You're supposed to understand
it,
Drew.
I'm bilingual. Why didn't I get it?
I know.
Oh, the crowd loved it. The crowd went crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. It was a pretty, I don't know, the light show behind it. They put a lot into it. I'll give them that.
Oh, they did. There were at least 100 people on stage. Yeah. Whatever. It's just not for me. I don't even know why I watched it.
A lot of rocking, though. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that best new rock album by Taylor Swift.
What
and the best
fuck?
Rock band, which is Migos. Rock on!
Who else was nominated, by the way?
Oh, there was only like 3 nominees for every award, which is weird. Normally you see 5 or 6 or 7. And so for the best rock band, it was Maroon 5 with Adam Levine.
Ooh!
Who's a known death metal on The Voice.
Yeah.
Who else was it? I guess I can look it up.
Who won, though?
Migos.
Oh, Migos won. Right? I saw that. I just saw Migos winning. I was like, what? 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 What's happened to my genre? I mean, that's one of the things I would expect to be reading stuff today, like Jethro Tull winning Best Heavy Metal.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a thing about it. Is anyone complaining about that? Or can you not complain because the winner was Migos?
Here's your best rock group.
Oh.
Rock on!
Keep rocking.
Why is it this like Jethro Tull winning heavy metal?
Well, because they mix it now. Instead of being just a soul rock or a heavy metal category, it's pop and or rock.
This is not pop rock. Pop rock is like Elton John.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney's pop rock.
Or pop rock now would be like Imagine Dragons.
I think Imagine Dragons was the third. It was Maroon 5, Imagine Dragons, and Migos.
I want outrage. I'm outraged that there's not outrage. I mean, the Jethro Tull thing, it gets mentioned almost every year. People are so appalled by it. This can't even get mentioned for a day. I want outrage!
What is it, the American Music Awards? Is that what this was?
Yes.
Yeah. No one cares about the American Music Awards, do they?
I think people watch it.
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as entertainment.
I should check the... I bet they have a lot of viewers. I bet you they had a decent... Maybe not what they used to get. Okay. How long till Mark?
About 15 minutes.
Okay. The Spooktacular Savings are back from the dead with our repulsive friends at Zodford & Holly. For the month of Rocktober, you can lease a new 18 Ford Escape as low as $57 a month. A brand new Ford Escape with a monthly payment that is less than the cost of candy you'll be handing out to all the neighborhood brats on Halloween. Or if you need a truck to tote your load of goblins and jack-o'-lanterns, you can lease a new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4 as low as $105 a month. These squeamishly haunting deals will be gone before you know it, so slither your way to Zodford and see the zombie-rific friends to get your ghoulish new Ford Escape at $57 a month or the witchy Ford F-150 at $105 a month. Check out the bone-chilling deals and horrifying inventory at dealsinthed.com. Oh, my. And then, whether you have $11 trillion or $3 and something in change saved up, it's important to have a plan in place when saving for retirement. Some people believe it's never been worse, but the truth is there's never a bad time to reanalyze your current plan to achieve the retirement you want. And with the stock market dropping 800
Jesus
points,
Christ.
Maybe you want to reanalyze it by calling Luke. That's one of those days. And it, when you see the thing dropping like 5 points at a time, it's like, oh, jeez.
It was down 3.15%. The NASDAQ was down over 4%.
Worst day since February 8th.
February
8th.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
It was the worst day
one?
This year?
I thought it was worse since the Brexit announcement.
I don't know. I just walked in, and that was what was on the TV when I came in.
Wow. I have CNBC on, so I'm sure you're probably right. Call Luke Nowacki, though, if you want to create a financial plan or look at it again, maybe, or have someone outsider look at it. 248-663-4748 for no obligation review of your financial strategy. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Signatory Investors Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC, Registered Investment Advisor at 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 48034, 248-663-4700.
Great investment. Great. A lot of death and blood and money.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lenny's back in the news.
Lenny
Dykstra?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What happened now?
He's just been indicted.
For?
Cocaine possession, meth possession, and making terrorist threats. This is all back to that Uber situation.
Give it death, bro.
It was just a grand jury that indicted him.
You could see the panic in his face, too, when the cops were trying to get into his bag, and he didn't want.
Yeah, like, I'll go through it. I'll go through it.
We have the audio?
Yeah, I'll find that.
Because he was just saying, hey, I don't have a gun. I'm a convicted Is he convicted felon? Is that what he
Yeah,
is?
He's a convicted so he felon. Yeah. Oh, Lenny.
Poor Lenny.
I know. You know, I thought, honestly, it's funny how often this happens. Somebody gets out of jail and they say all the right things. You think, oh, that guy's going to be, he's not going to want to go through that again.
Remember how big this cop was, too? That one cop's like 9 feet tall.
My house.
It's your house?
Okay. I'm on the Staten Island. He said, I don't know where Staten Island is. I said, I'm putting it in the thing. All of a sudden, he says, I can't drive you. You don't have the address. I said, dude, take it easy.
You don't have to do that, Jack. Do you have a firearm? Do you have a firearm in your bag?
No.
Do you mind if you look?
He keeps taking steps towards the car, and the cop has to stop him. Because he doesn't want anybody getting into that bag.
Mr. Fletcher, relax. No, no, I'm not pushing
you. I have no weapon.
You're walking into me. Okay.
No, but I want out of this guy's car. He's trying to kill me, this guy.
Okay, he just pulled it's crazy. In 100 miles an hour saying right. He threatened him with a firearm.
Dude, okay. I have no firearm.
Okay, do you mind if I look in your bag?
I'll show you.
Where do you offer? I don't want you to show me.
Did he have a gun? I'm trying to remember.
No.
Oh, that sucks. So he got busted over a fake gun.
Well, no, yeah. Yeah, but that's when they found all the drugs.
I know, that's what I mean. He didn't have the gun, though. I kind of understand how he feels. It's like, there's no gun in the bag. What does it matter what else is in there?
They were looking for the wrong.
The lesson here is if you're carrying a lot of drugs, don't get in a dispute with somebody.
Yes. No. He's lost his head.
Oh, he looks panicked.
I know. Understandably.
So it's would he be in court then today?
No, I think they just indicted him. And, of course, his lawyer used that famous line of a grand jury will indict a ham sandwich. Which everyone loves that line.
Yeah. Do you have to know how to use that or how to throw that out delicious. To become a lawyer?
Yeah.
Pass the bar.
It's law school 101.
Hmm. Yeah, what a bar. You know, God, this thing is... I've been bitching about this for so long, I feel like I'm wasting my breath. But I can't believe this false unemployment fraud case has to go to the Michigan Supreme Court. These people got so screwed. 44,000 people in Michigan were accused of defrauding the unemployment, falsely getting unemployment. Mm-hmm. They were forced to pay back what they owed times four, which is amazing that someone who's getting unemployment, which is you're obviously in a pretty tough spot, that you'd be forced to pay back your fraud four times over. Now, once with interest, okay, I get that. But four times? What kind of a law is that? Mm-hmm. Never heard of such a thing. So the worst part is that they were falsely accused. None of them did anything wrong. There are, I think it's...
You know what screwed them over, though, was the statute of limitations. They only had, what, 30 days to...
6 months.
6 months, okay.
6 months. So the state, and I'm amazed that Bill Schuette will even participate in this argument.
No, because he's off duty.
Well, that's
Bill
true.
Bill Schuette is off duty.
He works 11 days a year. Why would he have to be working on this day? Maybe they should wait till he's off. And by the way, they can outsource this, I guess, but he apparently feels that he's got to defend Michigan law, he's got to defend it. And where the debate is they had 6 months to bring this class action suit. First of all, how do you even know you have a class action suit? How do you know it's not just you? Some of these people are out of state. They had moved. They found out that they were screwed, or it was acknowledged that they were screwed a couple years later. So they have to file their case within 6 months. So now they're arguing over, well, were they harmed when they were accused of fraud or when their money was seized or they lost their house or they declared bankruptcy? And the state is saying, when you were accused of this, that's when the clock started.
What? That's bullshit.
It is. That's what they're saying.
Such bullshit.
And let's face it, don't we all know these people were fucked?
Yeah.
They were completely fucked. Why should there be a 6 month limit? You know, we argue about statute of limitations for a lot of things, but six months when the government throws the weight of its power against you wrongly? Are you kidding me?
They're the ones making the rules.
That's setting them up to fail.
Yeah.
They know it's not going to work for any of those people.
And here's what makes me so mad about this. Well, a few things. First of all, many feel they have not been refunded in full. And they give a number of examples where people had $3,800 seized and she got $1,700 back, so she's fighting for other $2,100. And they're much larger amounts, too, because they multiplied the fraud by four. Then there's this other little tiny thing where the state paid $47 million for this error-prone computer program.
Yeah.
And, okay, who decided this? Who is the one who apparently refused to back down and say that, oh, no, this isn't a fraud? I mean, because people were complaining about it. They're like, ah, fuck you, the computer nailed you, you're busted. Why is no one... I've heard of no one losing their job. I've heard of no one questioning the $47 million spent. The company they bought the program from says, hey, we didn't promise anything. We just gave them a program.
Yeah, but didn't they operate
It's operator error.
And aren't they still on the payroll because they have to operate it or fix it?
I don't know. They really...
Why wouldn't the state...
They disassociated themselves from it, which, by the way, when they sold it to the state, do you really think they said, oh, by the way, we got nothing to do with this?
No, of course
the program
not.
Just have it. We don't know what it does.
No, they probably charged them extra to maintain it. Why doesn't the state sue them?
Well, that's a great question. I feel like we spent $47 million on something that screwed 44,000 people, yeah. And no one's even talking about the $47 million.
Wait, why can't...
That's government. It's your taxpayer money. Who gives a fuck?
Why doesn't the class action, or maybe it is, going after that company as well that made the bad program?
Well, the company, of course,
should a class action
program.
Sue everyone.
Yeah, they should. I agree. They should. They should sue everyone. I mean, they must be pretty well aware by now that the state of Michigan is the one that fucked it up. But I heard of anyone losing their job, heard of anyone taking the blame or being blamed. It's just, oh, it's crazy. You got screwed. We paid you back, and that's that. Fuck you.
Yeah. Good luck with your life.
Jeez.
That's how they treat it.
Which is typical of when the government wrongs people. You know, even these guys who are in prison for 32 years for crimes they don't commit, they get, what, 50 grand a year? And some guy, by the way, was imprisoned for, this was just recently in the news, I think he was in prison for 7 years, and he's trying to collect his 50 grand a year, which is crap. It's like 7 years, 50 grand a year. And they won't give it to him because he wasn't cleared of the crime. They determined that, there's some bad evidence, so we're going to, you know, drop it or whatever, but no, we're not saying that you're innocent.
Yeah.
Now that seems kind of bullshit.
Didn't the Hires brothers never get their money too for being away? And then one of them committed a crime because they were hard up for cash because they had no skills. They were in prison so long.
Yeah. How long were they in prison?
Oh, God. It was a long time because it happened when they were kids.
Yeah. They were completely.
They admitted it.
Getting out was just like, oh, holy shit, which is
like,
what white
can
boy
you imagine?
Like.
It's like being on an airplane for 5 years and nobody knows when you get back and things are so weird.
I've been gone for 5 years.
Twins 5 years older.
They had another.
Nailing your best friend.
My mind is just totally still set on Manifest. There was another new tech. There was a new technology thing that the Eyebrows brother was baffled by. I can't remember what it was. Like, and I'm like, really? It's in the last 5 years? Wow, okay.
Oh, God, what was that?
Episode one was Alexa.
Oh, Alexa, that's what it was. Oh, yeah. He's like, who's Alexa?
Yet no one's mentioned that, wait, Donald Trump is president?
That'd be the biggest surprise, wouldn't it?
You know, it's funny. I have to really try to jog my mom's memory with pictures and stuff. So I showed her a picture of Trump. And I said, you know who that is? And she's like, yeah, I do know who that is, but I just can't come up with a name. And I said, it's Donald Trump. And she goes, oh, Donald Trump. And I don't think she's a big fan of Donald Trump. Anyway, I said, he's the president. And she goes, oh, he is not.
She thought you were screwing with her.
Yes.
Does she have her absentee ballot?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think so.
You should hook that up.
Is that weird that she gets to vote?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty weird that she gets to vote, but she doesn't vote.
Yeah.
Well, maybe when he visits with Kanye today, they'll figure out prison reform and everything will be all right for all those people who were wrongly accused and imprisoned for years. That's supposed to happen today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prison reform and something else.
Making America great again.
Now, there's two specific topics, I believe.
Young men, I think.
Hot. I don't know. His Twitter today is just all about the hurricane, but he hasn't given another great hurricane speech like he did for the other hurricane that just hit the Carolinas.
He said everything that needed to be said. It's wet from the standpoint of water.
Why doesn't he just put the same one up there again then? I feel like Hurricane Matthew, no one cares about it because they're like, all right, we're all hurricaned out.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, Florida.
I was annoyed it ate up 9 minutes of my morning news. I really was. Like, another hurricane.
We just did this two weeks ago. Get it out of here.
I've seen all the footage of floods, and I don't need to see any more of that. I know what it looks like.
Meanwhile, the panhandle of Florida is just getting decimated. No one gives a shit.
They sent all the, like, secondary or tertiary people, too. They didn't send, like, North Carolina got, like, Craig Melvin and all the biggies.
Jim Cantore's down there. He almost got impaled by a 2x4.
Oh, he's
faking. I think someone threw it at him.
Mark Ridley is on the phone. Mark Ridley from the Comedy Castle on 4th. And what's across the street?
Troy.
4th and Troy in Royal Oak, where it's been for almost 40 years now.
Wow.
And Mark, you there?
I'm here. Drew, how are you?
How you doing, Mark?
Just fine. Watching comedy videos.
TJ was, boy, we had a ball with TJ, and I guess you had 3 sold-out shows on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great guy. Fantastic. You know, he was at the club 7 years ago, so we just had to play a lot of catch-up on what's been happening to him in the last 7 years.
You know, I hate to ask this question because I fear I should know the answer. Has John Lovitz played there before? He must have.
No.
He hasn't.
His first time.
Wow. Now, does he make the rounds doing stand-up often, or is that something he doesn't do?
No. He's flying. He has a comedy club, or I don't know if he's still in business, out in California, and he goes to Vegas.
Okay, so, Mark, I got to ask, are you on the beach? Are you walking on the beach now?
No, I'm not walking. I'm the range, Judy.
Because we're having a little trouble hearing.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe you're
you know too... Let me get over closer to the door. That is an issue where I live here.
There you go. So, now stay right there. Right.
Sounds a little better already.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's the other side of the state. It's a black hole sometimes, so.
Well, Mark, when I got here in late 91, Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle was already established as the place for comedy, and here we are 27 years later, and it still is. We're going on 40 years, and what were you thinking? Were you always at that location in 4th and Troy?
Oh, no. Actually, that's my 7th location. I started out as a meeting place at Pontiac Trail on Orchard Lake Road, which is no longer there, and it was just a stupid idea in a little 90-seat room, and I think I was renting sound equipment for $25 a week to people who would work. Hmm. I actually just stole an idea from the comedy store in the Improv in Los Angeles, came back here to Michigan and started it up. I had maybe 9 local comedians, and headline they were showcasing the same comedians every night, 3 nights a week, I should say, and then... And it was basically an open mic night. So that first location is where Tim Allen got his start. Dave Coulier, who was 19 years old at the time. So it was, it was a small gym for them to get started. And I moved down Orchard Lake Road to a bigger place. And down Orchard Lake Road after I got in a fight with that owner. So ultimately, I ended up at that location I'm at now in 1991.
Oh, right around the time we got here. That is such a great room for comedy, and you've been there for so long now, and it's so established. And I was talking about all the pictures on the wall. Usually the mark of a good comedy club is a lot of black and whites, 8x10s of great comedians. And just why don't you just go ahead and rattle some off some of the guys that have come in through the years. It's incredible.
Oh, God. Well, and I looked at Jerry Seinfeld, Jim Carrey, Drew Carey, Kevin James. I'm trying to think, of course, Tim Allen. Keeps coming back once in a while. Richard Jennings, who's no longer with us, is one of my favorites.
Yeah, we had him in studio. He was fantastically funny. So good on his feet.
Did Shanley ever play there?
Shanley? Oh, yeah. Gary Shanley. Wow. Gary had probably headlined, I think, at least 4 times before he really broke out. And even after he broke out, we kept in touch for, off and on over the course of maybe the next 5 or 6 years. And so when he was in town opening for, like the Pointer Sisters or Joan Rivers, he would give me a call and I'd go out to the Pine Knob and play catch up with him. But we actually, our birthdays were one day apart. Okay. So we had a big birthday party for me on November 28th at the club, and I take him back to the hotel. And he goes, it's after midnight. It's my birthday now. Nobody stuck around, Gary. I'm sorry. So we sat there and talked to
4 in the morning, and then I took him to the airport. So he was a great guy, just a great guy.
Well, I remember looking at the pictures and just going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. But I don't remember that Jim Carrey, when did Jim Carrey come to the Comedy Castle?
Well, the funny thing is, well, this makes it really easy, because In Living Color was just starting to take off. And, of course, he was on In Living Color, so I had him in right away. And then his agent called me again, like, the next year, after Fire Marshal Bill and all the other characters are being developed. And it happened to be right around the time. He said, you want to come back in? I go, absolutely. And, well, I'm going back even farther, Drew. In the early 80s, he was on his way to Los Angeles from Canada and came in and did, like, a quick open mic night at my club. I mean, I had no idea who the guy was. And then things just broke out for him, you know, obviously later on. So, anyway. Moving forward to 1992, it was my son, who's now 42, it was 16th birthday. And he said, Dad, can I bring my friends to come and see him at the show? And I said, well, all right, but, you know, kind of stay off to the side. I mean, it's all sold out, but, you know, he had like 5 of his friends. So I said, let me take you back after the show and I'll introduce you. So goes back and Jim goes, hey, how you doing? Hey, it's your 16th birthday. Hi. My son goes, yeah. He says, you want to go back to my hotel room and get some hookers and watch some porn? Brian goes, oh, okay. So, you know, he said, that was kind of what sparked. He was, both my sons had a lot of interest in show business. He said, but that one event being with Jim Carrey really got him truly interested. And that's why he was a member of the Breakfast Club on Saturday mornings in high school. So,
yeah.
Did Jim Carrey, I mean, was... Could we? I would imagine we could all see this thing coming. But I mean, was he a stellar stand up? Was he that good at stand up?
Oh, he was excellent. Just when he did that little open mic in the early 80s, that's when he was doing his impression, which he doesn't do it any longer. But Bruce Dern and Clint Eastwood, I mean, you name it, he could do one impression after the other. But then when he developed and just started doing stand up, his characters and his stand-up was just so out there. I mean, just his impression of, he said, oh, I'm feeling a little sick. And so he would just stand there and act like he was going to throw up on the first row. this. Not exactly a Gallagher moment, but damn close. But, you know, his stand-up was excellent. And just the nicest guy in the world. I mean, you know, obviously his career has gone way up there. But he was. I remember we didn't have a ticketing system then, and it was, first time I had him in, it was February, and we're all sold out on paper. And then we have a major blizzard. So the room holds 400, so we had 800 seats sold for that night. We have a major blizzard starting Thursday night, all day Friday. We ended up with maybe 200 people at the show, so total.
Wow.
Still had to pay him, but, it's the business of show business, you know.
Mark, really, 40 years at the Comedy Castle. I had no idea there were 7 locations before Royal Oak. But who is your favorite? Who's the guy that kills you every time?
Every time? Well, it's not a guy. It's Kathleen Madigan. I bring her in twice a year. I'm the only comedy club she does in the country.
Hmm. Wow.
And every time she comes in, I mean, you look at her schedule, and it's like just casino or theater, one after another. And I have this arrangement with her. I said, Kathleen, whenever you don't want to do the club anymore, let me know. I've no hurt feelings. And she goes, nope, when you retire, that's when I quit. So She comes back twice a year. And every time she comes in, Drew, Trudy, I kid you not, she has, out of the hour or 10 minutes she does, she has at least 50 minutes of new material.
Wow.
And for a comedian, that's unheard of in this business.
Did Gallagher play there?
Yes, he actually, not as a scheduled act. What happened, he was playing, I forget the name of the club that was on band, the Premier Center. So he came in to do the Premier Center and came in a day early, found out that there was a comedy club in town, contacted me, and then came over and did open mic night.
Wow.
And these 4 guys that are just starting out, one guy got up there and goes, great, I have to follow Gallagher. And Leo, that's his first name, just did pure stand-up, no props, nothing. Huh. And he did it like 30 minutes in front of this kid. So, you know, I heard from him again years later, probably maybe 5-6 years ago when his brother was out doing Gallagher 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We talked to him.
Yeah, we talked to Leo about that.
Yeah, he wasn't too happy about it.
No.
Well, I think...
At first, he gave his blessing, but...
Yeah, Ron started going to markets that he wasn't supposed to go into, and they weren't making it clear. Well, I guess the idea was that they just called him Gallagher. Wasn't the idea that you were seeing Gallagher?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I remember being up in East Powys on vacation one summer, and I went by the Holiday Inn, and I see Gallagher 2. Oh, what? Is this like Bad Elvis or something? It was really strange to see that.
This is probably a dumb question, but did you get Greg Giraldo in there?
Oh, Greg was I think at least 3 times.
Yeah, didn't you bring him to our show?
Yeah.
One time
was it not, it was kind of
I was great. Trying to remember if that was Mark or if it was, it was Mark. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
no,
that was.
Might have been one of the drivers. I had a couple of guys that drive.
Yeah.
It might have been Kevin.
Yeah.
But
Kevin,
yeah, Greg had his problem. And unfortunately, it led to, his untimely death. But he used to come in with a handler. And seriously.
Yeah.
For those people that have substance abuse, they've got to travel. I've had a number of comedians over the years that have had to bring somebody else along with them because they can't be alone. And, when they're alone, things happen. And I remember getting a phone call. Greg is at the airport. It was after an event on a Friday night. You see, he's at the airport waiting for the first back to New York the next morning. So I had to get a hold of his manager. Manager had to call Greg and talk him out of it. And he came back, and then, things went on okay. But, there's always been, there are issues behind the scenes. Almost every week there's something going on. For the most part, there was at that time, but. Now it's a lot better.
How about Louis C.K.? And would you, because of everything he's gone through, would you book him right now?
That'd be very, very tough, Drew. I mean, I've spoken.
That was Mark,
Louis,
by the way.
Directly.
It was Mark.
It's okay.
Pardon me?
That was Mark.
That's the other Mark.
Yeah, it was me. Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry. So, years ago, I spoke to Louis, the Comedy Cellar in New York. I used to do, before the internet, I'd do a lot of traveling back and forth to Los Angeles and New York just and scout the clubs just to see, mm-hmm. Who was good and who was up and coming and, then talk to the club owners. Obviously, a lot cheaper now to book acts, but, and I was at New York at the Comedy Cellar before Louis broke out, and I was just blown away by him. But, with everything going on, you have to walk a fine line, and I think that Louis has a way to go. I talked to Dave Attell, and he said he's just starting to pop his head back in at the Comedy Cellar. But, it's going to be a while before I think Louis has a career again.
Well, you just mentioned maybe my favorite, Dave Attell. I just, it's funny. Sometimes it's you can think of bigger names than Dave Attell, but nobody can make me laugh like Dave Attell. And Greg Giraldo. I love Greg Giraldo. Those two guys.
I did too. And there's another one. Dave, I could see, every time he comes in. And, I always go back and forth about it, because I have almost everybody's phone number and I'll text them or sometimes they'll pick up the phone and call me. And I have to go through their agent or manager, but, it's like, I say, okay, Dave, do you want to come back in next year? Yeah. Oh, definitely. Then I get a text the next day. Let's wait about 15 months. Why do you pick 15 months? It's just like so arbitrary as to why and when he wants to come back. He feels like the audience that he just performed for remember his act in its entirety a year later or 13 months later. So he picks 15 months.
Mark, regarding booking comics, I mean, this is Comedy Castle are real stand-ups that do real acts. Do you ever get bugged by people that are YouTube comics or just kind of social media type comics that want to do a different sort of comedy?
Well, that is, that's actually something I'm doing now.
Okay.
We have this company that they have these YouTube sensations. So this guy's a producer. He'll rent the room on a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday, and folks, parents will bring their kids out to see like this really hot act. But I have one comedian, I'm bringing him back in December. His name is Ryan Davis, and he's had over 250 million views on YouTube.
Huh.
And nobody knows who he is except for his YouTube followers.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's just, you know, he's one of those kind of guys. And the good thing is he's actually pretty funny. So, yeah, I've had other people that have tried it, and then they say, well, I'd like to see at least a 45-minute set. You know, I'm not going to charge the public $30 just because you want to come in and talk about your sad life or read from a book. And that has happened. Being the gatekeeper, I kind of have to put up pretty strong barriers.
Well, I tend to judge these guys on how good they are at radio, which most of them are great. And Richard Jenny was so damn good on his feet. And Geraldo was amazing on his feet. And Dave Attell has the same quality. And thank God he's still here. But I'm just wondering, I mean, you know these guys in a way that we don't know them. Who, I mean, maybe there's a few of them that you think are just so damn funny off the stage. They're just always funny. Are there anybody that you can think of? When I put it that way?
God, I'm just trying to, you know, that's, you know, when I look at the year, I mean, there's a guy named Dave Landau who I can, you know, Dave is a local guy, but he's making it big now on the, you know, he's done Live at Gotham like 3 or 4 times. I used to manage him when I was back managing 7 comedians at one time. Talk about having extra kids.
Yeah.
But anyway, Dave is extremely funny. When I talk to him or even read stuff that he writes, he cracks me up. So he's somebody that's really good. There's so many of them out there. It's just, you know, when I look at the schedule every year, I do all of my booking starting in late August, and then I'm all finished by the end of September for the following year. So I can tell you who's going to be playing New Year's Eve going into 2020.
Really? Who?
So, Deborah DiGiovanni is her name.
New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve 2020. Wow, that's a long way. Yep. That's way ahead.
I book 153 acts in about 6 weeks.
Wow.
So. Jesus.
And you still can't force John Lovitz to talk to us.
I know. Isn't that something? I really, really wish I could get inside their mind and say, why aren't you... You're working off the door. Why aren't you talking to everybody and anybody you can?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, you got somebody like TJ who, when he left the club on Sunday, went back to the hotel, got up early the next morning, and drove over to Muskegon to do one show in Muskegon.
Wow.
So, you know, that some people have a great work ethic.
I got an email from 2 people in Muskegon that listened to us that said, yeah, I went to TJ Miller, and they said it was a great show, too. They absolutely loved it. This might be a hard question to answer, and I don't mean it in the ugliest way, but you must deal with more high-maintenance people, because comedians are very complicated people. Any names you can drop, or maybe any that don't come around anymore?
maybe when I announce my retirement.
Okay.
You know, there are a couple of high-profile comedians who I had them in once, and that was enough. I don't care how big you draw. If you're treating your radio hosts like shit and walking out of an interview, or you're treating the staff like hell, it's not worth it for me to bring you back. You know, it's and they're still out there. They, you know, they know who they are, and other people talk about them too. So, you know, if and when the time comes, I'll chime in with my 2 cents.
Yeah, I want to read when you do retire. I want to hear that list. I know there's a lot of stories you can't tell yet, but I'm ready when you're ready. And you know, the phone policy, too, we were reading about the Kevin Hart show at Little Caesars, where apparently they were so aggressively going after people's phones that people who weren't even recording things were getting thrown out of the show. And they said, we threw 200 out in Cleveland, so, you know, watch it. And they threw a bunch of people out at Little Caesars. Are people upset when they record at your club, or is that not allowed? Do you have a policy?
It's not allowed. We have probably the greatest staff. I'm not just saying that because they may be listening to this, but, you know, my showroom manager, Bill Lodge, the former power lifter, he works on the DIA during the day, and he'll stand there and smile at you, just say, put your phone down, remember not to turn your phone on, and with that smile, you know, behind those guys saying, oh, I'll have to really pick you up and throw you right out of here. So, but speaking of Kevin Hart, and this is what I'm going to go off topic here. My son Adam, the younger one, he's a documentarian. He's had a series on Netflix called Last Chance U.
Oh, yeah.
He was a producer and director of that, but he just spent a month in Europe with Kevin Hart filming his circuit for a documentary. And he said they were throwing people out in Europe left and right.
Oh, wow.
And then your other son works for a show that I love, Rick and Morty, as a writer.
Right, he did that, and now he's no longer with them, even though he owns a piece of the show, but he's writing a new film for Illumination Studios. And he's working with Robert Kirkman, who created Walking Dead. He's doing a new series with him.
Whoa.
So the two of them are pretty well entrenched in their own business. Dad sat down and said, look, eventually I'm going to have to quit. I don't know when, or I'm going to drop over. And they said, no, we don't want anything to do with the comedy club business. Okay, fine. You know?
Wow.
So they signed off on that.
So going back to when you started in 70, was it early January?
79.
79, and you said you were traveling out to the Comedy Store. Did you know Mitzi Shore really well? And what was the scene like?
I didn't know anybody. I was there actually in 77. I tried to get into the assistant director's program at USC after I got out of Wayne State. You know, I crammed 4 years into nine at Wayne State. So, I was a graduate. So when I finally got out, and then I went out there, and I sort of hung around for about a month, but I would go to the Comedy Store and the Improv, and the Comedy Store had just opened a couple of years before. So this gave me the opportunity. I saw Richard Pryor there. David Letterman had just moved out there. Robin Williams was performing. I got to see a ton of acts. I just thought it was like the greatest thing to see is a club where just comedians perform.
I have to ask you about Letterman. I'm such a Letterman fan. How was his stand-up? Did you get to see his stand-up?
It was great. His stand-up was excellent. And then I remember, because I was in the original room, which holds maybe 220 people, and I was probably just a couple of feet away from him. He was getting ready to go on, and he was talking to somebody else. Because I don't know if this joke's going to work. I don't know if that's going to work. He was just so racked with this anxiety before he went on. And sure enough, he goes up, and he just killed. And, I mean, you know, again, I could talk to him. I kind of feel like Forrest Gump. I talked to all these people, but never got to have them at the club. And David Letterman was really a strong, strong stand-up. He was part of that Jay Leno class, George Miller, some of the other guys that, I guess Mike Binder's doing a documentary on the whole history of the Comedy Store.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that's going to be out. He hopes sometime in 2019.
Well, tell if you talk to Mike, unless he's got a Lovitz thing, tell him we'd love to talk to him too. We had Mike on back when he, what was the movie Mike was doing? Was it the one with Sandler?
Rain Over Me.
Rain Over Me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a great guest, and he's a local guy, too. So
he was my very first headliner. I mean, literally, when I started in January of 79, and in February, I got a phone call from Mike, who was already out in L.A. I think he was maybe 20 years old. And he said, Mark, I thought, now I can fill the room. Like, who can't fill 90 seats, right? So I said, okay, let's do something. So Bob Talbot was still around then, right? His comedy wrote a whole article on Mike, and Mike did a couple of interviews on the radio. Well, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I said, all right, let's just do a couple of shows here. Well, it's, I think, Friday night, and there were close to 400 people outside trying to get into a 90-seat room.
Wow.
It was just an absolute madhouse. His father, who was really big in West Bloomfield, that's where the original club was, he was telling all of his friends, you know, okay, you got to come see my son. And next thing you know, just word of mouth turned it into a small riot.
Wow. Without even any social media. So we're on 40 years almost, and how are you going to celebrate 40 years, Mark? Is there a special event?
Yeah, it's actually, I haven't done that 3 years ago.
Oh, this is where his phone's going to cut out.
Oh, no, go back to the door.
It's a secret.
Go back. I'm at Kathleen Madigan's birthday party out in Las Vegas. I was the only club owner invited, or as Lewis Black said, everybody else is too fucking cheap to buy a ticket. So it's, you know, Lewis Black, Ron White, Carrot Top was at this dinner. There was like 12 of us, and Louis Anderson is sitting right next to me. So, and Louis says, Mark, how come I've never played your club? And I said, Louis, you've always been so big all these years. I mean, I didn't think I could get you in. He goes, well, he said, I'd love to come and play it sometime. I gave him my card. And the very next day, he called me. So, but
wow.
Then, right around the same time, he was cast as Zach Galifianakis' mother in Basket on FX.
Yeah.
So he's won a couple of Emmys for that. And then about 2 months ago, I was talking to an agent. And he said, we just signed Louis Anderson. I said, oh, Would he like to help me celebrate my 40th anniversary? He goes, well, I think he might want to do that. You know, he's not doing clubs. I said, I was going to talk to you about promoting him at a theater. And I said, well, I'd love to have him at the club. He talked about it 3 years ago. Let's can we put something together? So less than a week later, I had an answer back from the agent. Said, Louis wants to do it. So he's coming in January 12th to celebrate the 40th anniversary.
Wow, that's great.
Wow.
And then, like, the week after, I have David Koechner, who played Champ Kind in Anchorman.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And then he's on The Office. He's coming in.
Yeah.
So a lot of good acts, you know, like Hal Kinane, Preacher Lawson. There's a lot of really strong acts coming in throughout the year and next year.
Well, Mark, you got to Royal Oak when it was just really getting hip, and you're still there, and it's still working. Congratulations.
I hope there's plenty of parking.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's pretty bad when you have to put a parking map on your home page of your website. You know? That fucking pisses me off. Well,
people are finding their way there. We'll certainly be excited for Louie when the time comes. And in the meantime, thanks for all the help and the guests you've gotten us. And
all the laughs.
Yeah, and all the laughs, absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, I think over a billion shows.
Wow.
Well, we'll keep working at it. I have no intentions of retiring. I can renew my lease for another 5 years, so I'll be around.
Cool.
Thanks, Mark. Congratulations again, and thanks for all the help with TJ, et cetera.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
You
Thank
bet.
You.
We'll talk soon.
All right,
thanks.
Mark.
Hi, Mark.
40 years
Bye-bye.
At the Comedy Castle. Bye, Mark.
So cool.
Bye-bye. You know, it was funny. I had no idea he had just gotten Royal Oak when we got here.
I didn't either.
Because everything was just Royal Oak was
there.
Royal Oak was so hot then, and it still is hot. And I just assumed, it was such
you could park there. Yeah.
Well, yeah, back in the days when you could park there. I parked there this morning somehow.
What?
Yeah, I don't know how I did it.
So ridiculous.
Put two quarters in a meter, actually, is how I did it. But Louis Anderson, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love Louis.
Oh, my God, he's so funny. Watching him have a serious discussion even with people is hilarious.
He's a fantastic interview, too,
because
he's pretty much an open book. And I got to squeeze my butt. Whenever I think of Louis.
This is the diving show.
Yeah, splash.
There's Kareem.
Hey, will we get the USA Today tomorrow?
He's so great in baskets. So great.
Obviously, we'll ask.
I know.
Who knows if we'll get him, but...
I'll bring the cookies.
The John Lovitz thing is really funny because
I
was telling Trudy the story that when he was, I want to say it was Hands Across, not America, maybe. What year was Hands Across America?
Oh,
there were a couple of those. Around
See, I participated in
We
it,
all so. Had to hold
I know,
hands,
that's,
right?
That's right.
That was in 86.
'86. Yeah. There was something in '90 he did. Maybe it was a song like
Laugh Across America.
I don't know what it was, but he was in, you know, like even, what were the big charity song? Well, Do They Know It's Christmas? And there was another one around the same time. Anyway, they had a few people from SNL in the song. I don't know why, but they were just singing.
We Are the World?
We Are the World, have, yeah.
Yeah, that was Aykroyd in the background of We Are the World.
There was the Earth song.
What year was We Are the World?
Earth.
Lovitz was on one of them.
We Are the World was like, what, 84?
It was 85. Yeah, it was right around then. I think around the same time as the Christmas song, Do They Know It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's another charity song, and Lovitz was on it. And he was, you know, he was joking about it, like, well, why am I on this? And anyway, we tried to get an interview to do with the song because we knew they were promoting it. And they gave us John Lovitz. Wow. And it was 19.
That's why he was on it.
We were in Phoenix, and it was 1990 with Zip. And we interviewed Lovitz, and he was funny as hell because he'd just come off Saturday Night Live, and I think he had a movie going on too. But anyway, when we hung up, he hung on the line to talk after the interview, which most people don't. You can hear the click. It's like, I'm so out of here. And we were like, thanks, John. He goes, yeah, can I ask you guys something? Like, yeah, sure, of course. He goes, do you think I should have left Saturday Night Live?
What?
And it was like, wow. Wait, is he really asking us this? And you know, we talked for about 5 minutes. He was really conflicted. Like, did I fuck up? Because people were saying he fucked up and he should have left. And I think his movie was getting shitty reviews. And what a weird thing.
Yeah.
I guess we connected with him so well.
Huh.
He had such a good time. And I lied to him and said, no, it's a good move.
Well, how many movies did you say he'd been in?
105.
That's a significant career. I mean, he's not lead man material.
Well, he got the Lovitz got the critic. How long was it? I mean, that was a big show.
It was a great show.
Oh, that was a great show. That's right. Does he know?
It was radio too. After his buddy passed.
Oh, that's right.
Don't forget, he was on the Celebrity Apprentice.
Really?
Yeah. What is the song though? I'm dying to know what the song is now.
It was a popular. It was a hit. I'm pretty sure it was.
I've been looking up all these different songs, and it's actually pretty comical.
The one in 1990.
It's reminding me of a whole bunch of different other ones.
I'm just reading about Lovitz here. I forgot about this. Remember the Saturday Night Live 40th anniversary special? And Steve Martin was talking about all the SNL cast members that died, and he mentioned Lovitz.
Yeah.
And they showed him in the crowd, and then later they used him in the montage of dead members. What a great joke.
But I don't see anything where he pops up for being in a song.
I could have sworn it was a charity song. And I can almost see him in the back row of the picture. But maybe it was something else, whatever it was. It was very strange. And I'm kind of pissed. Come on, John.
I know. I was just trying to find his agent's message so that I could bump the shit out of him.
That's okay. There are other people coming along. We're getting our share.
True.
But
maybe we can just run.
Ask him about the tennis match.
Maybe we just run Steve and Joanne's interview with him. Fucking bullshit.
Come on, Jenny. Oh, well.
Yeah, the only thing for music that comes up with him is he did a duet with Robbie Williams in 2001.
What?
Yeah.
Lovitz?
Yeah.
He's very theatrical.
Yes, of course.
Wait, I'm getting closer. Hang on. We're getting there.
That was my favorite. I think
Sun City? No, that wasn't Sun City. Hang on. Voices That Care.
Is that it?
I think it's Voices That Care.
Sweet. I knew John cared.
Who's that?
It's a voice that cares.
But I don't know.
Recorded to boost the morale of troops fighting in Operation Desert Storm.
That makes sense.
That's Celine.
That's Celine?
Yeah.
She looks good in black and white.
Oh, he was one of the choir members.
Thank you.
Okay, I see.
I was really starting to think I was losing it.
BG.
I never interviewed John Lovitz. What am I talking about?
It's like 200 people in this song.
Wait, that sounds like an Air Supply voice. Bobby
Wayne,
Brown.
Wayne Gretzky.
Whitney.
Man, they really do care.
Who's that?
Is that Brett Michaels?
Oh, my God.
It was funny to see. These are snapshots in time. Because you see people, you go, why were they in the song?
There's a Kenny G saxophone solo in this one.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because he doesn't have a voice.
It's Magic Johnson. Is Magic Johnson on the list?
Probably.
Ahmad Rashad.
Yeah, look at the name. Gary Busey.
David Robinson.
Gary Busey.
Jimmy Buffett's in there.
Hey, they all care.
David Cassidy. Peter Cetera. Chevy Chase. Kevin Costner, Cindy Crawford, Billy Crystal, Ted Danson.
They had their mics turned off, though.
Who's that?
Don King. Michael Jordan, Magic.
Helping me relive this interview.
Oral Hershiser's in there. Oral Hershiser's. Wayne Gretzky.
Nelson!
Nelson was in there!
That's them singing right there.
What?
Whoopi Goldberg, Richard Gere.
One of them has to wear a hat so they can differentiate.
Yeah, which one's Matthew? Which one's
the lead?
Gunner and Matthew! Gunner!
Listen, Bolton's showing them how to sing. Blowing them out of the water.
Yeah, the Pointer Sisters.
Nelson had a part?
Yeah. Both of them.
Oh, Joey's Joey's a closet Nelson fan. He got up to look.
Garth Brooks.
Fresh Prince. That's why we're all here and singing along. Oh my God, this is garbage.
Brooke Shields?
That's terrible.
Alyssa Milano's in there.
Oh, really? Or is it just a cardboard cutout?
Michelle Pfeiffer. David Robinson.
How is this song only 5 minutes?
Oh, this song is awful.
There's too many caring voices.
Who is it?
William Shatner.
Ooh, guitar solo. Who is it? Santana?
Of course it's Santana.
Mark Knopfler.
It's Mark Knopfler.
It is Knopfler, yeah.
Alan Thicke, Meryl Streep.
Where is Mark Knopfler? What do you think Dire Straits will be touring in 10 years?
Mark Knopfler doesn't really have to do anything now, so he doesn't.
But none of of those guys have to do anything. Well, actually, you know, it's that's interesting that a lot of them do have to do. I'm always shocked to figure that out.
Yeah.
He moved to country music.
I mean, you would think all the big classic rock people are out there, you'd think they don't have to do that. They're doing it because they love it. But a lot of them are doing it because they have to.
Yeah.
Or they just have some ridiculous lifestyle support.
Look at Kenny G.
Yeah.
I love this song.
He's a saxophone that cares.
Is Kenny G ever...
We're Celine again.
Does he ever talk?
There's the group. Where's Lovitz?
Oh...
There is Kenny.
There's Busey.
Yeah.
The choir.
Tony Osmond. I love that Jean-Claude Van Damme's in there, too.
Alyssa.
Milano.
And Sally Field.
Fred Savage.
Billy D. Williams.
Tony Osmond's comeback. Remember that, Trudy?
Dudley Moore.
Yes. Soldier of Love. Was that the song?
Yeah. Oh.
There's Lovitz.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Oh, redeemed.
He's in at the 358 mark.
And they panned past really fast.
This list, by the way,
wow,
is 14 overblown charity advocacy songs besides We Are the World.
Woo!
Do you want to hear the other ones?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Well, Sun City.
Oh, yeah.
That was a
big one.
Not going
to play Sun City no more. And then everybody did.
Wait, Artists Against AIDS?
Wait, is there artists for AIDS? Are there people for AIDS? Are we talking about the Breath Mint or the...
Marvin Gaye's on it.
Wait,
Trudy, there was a Breath Mint called AIDS, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was a weight loss product called AIDS.
This is from 2000.
Was that the end of that? I mean, was that like,
they were out of business.
I gotta say, this Artist Against AIDS must have solved AIDS because it was 2001, and nobody hears about AIDS anymore. Fred Durst is on it. Britney Spears.
Fred Durst.
He's got AIDS.
Then there's Band-Aid. Do they know it's Christmas? Oh, do you remember Hearing Aid?
Yeah, Stars? Diet candy.
Yeah, look at Zeus has it right there.
Oh, I remember Hearing Aid.
Yeah, AYDS.
AIDS. Uh-huh.
But it seems to me they got screwed by the disease, didn't they?
They had AIDS.
They were killed by AIDS. AIDS was killed by AIDS.
Wow. So.
But then all those diet, you know, products, they shift anyway. They change names and reconfigure themselves, come up with something else. Because
is it all fake?
Yeah.
Or they're doing something wrong.
Right.
By the way, I'm hearing a lot about microdosing lately. Suddenly it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Are people doing it and I just don't know?
I don't know, but you seemed awfully interested in it when we had that
interview. I was intrigued by it. I mean, I'm reading about it so much, I'm figuring somebody in this room is microdosing and I don't know who it is.
I mean, it's kind of like taking something every day to feel better. Like
an antidepressant or something.
Something
or
like that.
Booze.
Yeah.
Just a mini
booze.
Just a mini micro buzz.
Sure. Well, you get used to it then, and you get used to...
Don't act like you don't know about drugs when you do.
Walking on sunshine, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe I'd like to try me some of that cocaine.
I mean, it seems like, I suspect that by, the year 3000, people will be taking ecstasy in doses where they can just, have a really cool day.
Well, yeah, because robots will be doing everything
for us.
But
not be dancing like crazy and drinking water.
Or like feeling people's texture of people's shirts.
Yeah, they won't be acting stupid, but they'll just be, having this little ecstasy trip.
We're smoking reefer.
Start investing in glow sticks then.
All right. And lollipops, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That was huge, wasn't it? I mean,
yes.
They needed...
Oh, yeah. You gotta suck on something.
It was huge for the bottled water business, too.
So, today there were a couple things. The Bill and Hillary show, I read more about that, the conversation with the Clintons. Tickets are actually, if you go through all the shows, they're ranged from $70 to $700.
Oh, boy.
Which is like, who would pay? I guess...
You get to meet them both backstage or something?
I don't think that's the category. These are the seats.
What?
I guess there's probably a little golden circle.
Front row.
I guess.
That reminds me. I totally forgot, and it hasn't been anywhere in the news today, so that shows you how uneventful it was. But I think Hillary's supposed to be on Colbert yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
or
there were some
maybe it's tonight.
There were some new quotes from her today about how she said, you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for and what you care about, meaning the Republicans. And then she said, when we're in the House and Senate, civility can start again. So in other words, you can be civil as long as we're in charge. And of course, she got blasted for that. Why doesn't
You're
she
not
just
reading
shut
her
up?
Correctly.
Can anyone tell her to shut up? I guess not. That's a silly thing.
She was on Colbert a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it must be a rerun. They were promoting it, though.
What did she say, Kendra?
She said that you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for and what you care about. When we win the House and Senate, civility can start again.
I'm back.
Then maybe you shouldn't have run for president.
So Kellyanne Conway.
Because people hate you.
Kellyanne Conway just blistered her. They said, I guess she needs to be seated next to him to get crowds, meaning about her tour. And she said, well, it'd be nice if they would give the money to, I forgot she mentioned some charity, but I don't think they're doing that, which is, I don't know.
Meow, girl.
Honestly, I'm kind of shocked that they're not associated with some charity that they give a portion of the proceeds with, which would be a very small
amount. It'd be their own charities. Who gives a shit anyway? Because all that money goes back to them.
Hey, Chelsea is not going to let it be misused, man. She's got a new book and everything.
Yeah, she persisted.
Well, if fighting for women's health care and paid family leave and equal pay is playing the woman card, then deal me in.
Listen to the crowd. Can you believe people actually yell that loud about politics at a rally? Oh.
God. The new one yesterday was lock her up again.
I heard.
For Dianne Feinstein. Feinstein.
And then Hillary went on to say she found Ford's testimony very credible, but then she chose not to discuss, I guess she was asked about, well, what about Bill?
Well, that's his thing.
It's not his thing.
He'll deal with that or something to that. I don't know what
she said
about. Exactly.
She really? Attacked.
I'm kind of shocked she would even bring it up. But and
these
Kellyanne Conway.
Allegations are false.
Kellyanne Conway had some nice shots. But she was so wide open for them. And then Michael Avenatti challenged Donald Trump Jr. to a mixed martial arts fight.
I will watch that.
Make that a pay-per-view event.
Is it going to happen? Is DTJ in?
DJTJ?
That would be a huge event. Donald Trump Jr.?
Yeah.
He's a big dude, man. I wouldn't.
Trump Jr.?
Yeah, isn't
he?
I think so. Well, Don's a big guy. Avenatti's short, isn't he? Where's the tail of the tape?
Avenatti seems like the guy that would be studying martial arts for like 20 years before he'd admit it, but then would challenge someone to a fight, of course. Yeah.
No, he's not going to get into that unless he's going to win.
Junior's only 6'1"?
Eric's the tall one. He's 6'5".
Wow, I would have thought he's bigger than 6'1", because Dad's what, 6'4"?
So, I think he's 6'3". I don't think he's 6'4".
I think that
6'3" isn't tall.
I love the MMA stuff. They're going to do an MMA.
Can you imagine how much money they can make doing that?
Yeah.
I mean, if you put it on pay-per-view.
None of it to charity.
Shit ton.
Yeah.
None of it to charity.
None of it to charity.
No, not a dime.
Right,
not a dime.
Stormy could do like the...
She'd be the ring girl.
The ring girl,
yeah. I'm in. Let's do it.
I don't like Avenatti. He's just a...
Not a fan.
I don't like him.
He's a media whore.
Yeah, he is a media whore.
Trump Jr. isn't?
I can't believe...
Yeah, but Trump Jr. is relevant because his father is the president and also because he worked for his father and he showed up on TV. Avenatti just kind of came out of
nowhere.
Now we care
about president offsprings?
Honestly, I don't see... Is Donald Trump Jr. on TV that much?
I don't say I care about him, Mark. I just said that's how we know him.
Wait, he's on as much as Avenatti?
I don't know. I see him a lot.
He's on social media quite a bit.
What is he on when is he on TV?
I don't know.
He just did a huge interview with Guilfoyle.
I know. That was bizarre.
It was weird.
Wow. You know how this whole fight started, by the way?
Is Guilfoyle still on Fox News?
No. No, she's doing her own
thing. Where was the interview?
Him, basically.
It was on
doing
Fox.
Him.
I think it was on a local Fox station, maybe. But he's doing rallies now, too.
Yeah. He's out.
Well, I just don't see him on TV. I see Michael Avenatti on TV all the time.
Right, but
DJ TJ's
gig
is... He was on TV a lot.
Yeah. DJ TJ's gig is to promote Dad in 2020. He's his campaigner.
This whole fight kind of started over Twitter because Don Jr. had posted some link about Anthony Weiner getting out of prison. And so he said, hey, how about your Avenatti Weiner ticket in 2020? And so Avenatti fired back and let's fight about it.
The undercard of Weiner and Eric.
He said
Eric would maul Weiner.
But what he did say was kind of funny. He's like, you might be passing Weiner going into prison as he's coming out, and there are no silver spoons and golden toilets in there. Buck up, buttercup.
Yeah, he called him.
Wait, who said that?
Avenatti.
Have you seen my wiener?
Or no, buckle up, buttercup.
Talks like that? It's weak.
Michael Avenatti.
That's weak.
What about Wiener, though? Wiener's back.
I know.
Were you fully erect?
It's funny. Michael Avenatti suggests that he's the only person to take on Donald Trump because he knows how to hit back.
I think there's some truth to that. Everybody else is a pussy.
There might be some truth to that, but...
Pay-per-view, come on.
What has Michael Avenatti done? I know he bankrupted a chain of coffee stores. What is he really...
By drinking too much of it?
No, I don't know. He claims he sold it, and
well, he took down the NFL. Dive is that
he did not.
He took down the NFL.
You got Jerry Jones on the stand and reamed him out.
Wait. Why?
That's like how
I see them
he
on
races cars.
Sunday, Thursday, and Monday night.
I know. They're doing terrible. Just look at the ratings.
He races cars.
He does race cars.
What did you do to Jerry Jones?
He got him on the stand and kind of caught him in admitting.
In what case?
The Super Bowl case with the extra seats.
Oh, okay. Right. When the Super Bowl's in Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that qualifies him to be president, but
I don't know. Every time he pops up, though, it's over. It's something just...
No, it is something ludicrous. Yeah. You're right.
Gangbangs and porn stars so far.
Well, the porn star was real. The gangbangs was not.
How do you know?
The porn star is getting an awful lot of mileage. I don't even like her porn anymore. I thought she was hot before the whole thing started. Ever since 60 Minutes, I find her horse-faced or something. I can't quite put my finger on it.
She was on Kimmel last week. She looked pretty
good.
She
was on Kimmel again?
Yeah, she was on Kimmel again. This time to, reveal. Like, she didn't talk about anything the very first time she was on.
Oh, right. When she couldn't talk. Oh, right.
So this time for the book and, talk about his mushroom.
Was she a good guest?
And stuff. Oh. She was a pretty good guest. The weird thing was they had actress Sarah Paulson, the woman from American Horror.
Who was a lesbian.
Yeah, and she was Marcia Clark. Mm-hmm. In the OJ thing.
Uh-huh.
She was dating a woman like 40 years older than her.
Yes.
And what?
We've talked about this before. Sorry, Trudy.
Which made it weird that she was like, I want to stand. I want to meet Stormy. And she was really excited to meet Stormy. So she was sitting, in the side seat, probably
soaked.
Wet. Yeah. And kind of looking, like she was just like thrilled with everything Stormy had said.
Engorged.
Well, Stormy has actually since apologized regarding writing down all the specifics of Donald Trump.
Button Wiener?
Yeah, because it's body shaming. Yeah.
Oh, great to apologize after you've done it.
She did an interview with Australian 60 Minutes. Which, why would Australia 60 care? Minutes.
Because they paid her.
They pay?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. Lots of money.
I don't know why she'd do that if they didn't.
Oh, the land down under.
Well, to sell her book.
They actually have really good TV down there.
Shrimp on the Bobby.
Let's see.
Oh, did you happen to see the newest Permit Patty / Barbecue Becky incident?
Yes, the woman that called the police on the black man with two white kids.
Babysitting white kids.
Yeah. Were those white kids, by the way?
Yes.
They were, their mom was, maybe she was Italian or something like that.
And he was black.
But, they didn't look like his kids, I think, this Permit Patty's issue.
Well, there's no African-American. Never mind.
They didn't look like his. It's funny how huge those stories are.
They could have been,
though. It's like the biggest story. Like, I'm surprised any white person calls the police on a black person ever anymore.
But he's just driving around with these two little kids, and she goes, I have to speak to those
kids.
Oh,
yeah. She pulled
like,
a Lindsay Lohan, basically.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, a less aggressive Lindsay Lohan. But I think this chick is getting more shit than Lindsay Lohan.
Maybe. Well, he didn't feature her, though. He went on Facebook Live, but she wasn't. We don't know what she looks like.
Yeah, no one knows.
But it was
a
moment for them to bring back Barbecue Becky and Permit Patty.
What's up with Barbecue Becky
these
days?
They got recapped. So whatever hate, they probably stirred up a little more hate for the two of them.
Well,
let's put them in a cage match.
Yeah, that's a great
another undercard
on the pay-per-view.
Oh, you mean Permit Patty and Barbecue Becky and
all of them?
That'd be
except
cool.
They're on the same team, aren't they?
Well, yeah, but they got to fight to the death.
That's each other, yeah.
I
can see them doing that.
Bad Baby's got a reality show.
Cool. Yeah, but it's on Vine, or not Vine,
Snapchat.
It's on Snapchat. So, although that's her
audience. How is Bad Baby's career going? Am
phenomenal.
I going to have to listen to her for the next 10 years?
See her on the American
years,
Music
30
Awards.
Years?
She's already an influencer.
Probably.
Oh, boy. Oh, well. Fabulous was indicted by a grand jury.
Bad baby. She a bitch. She's trying to act cool with her bodyguard.
Wait, where's Lil Tay?
She's got her own show as well.
I haven't even heard about it. Is it popular?
I think they've been filming it the last couple months, which is why you haven't seen her a lot. And then it's just going to hit, and everybody's going to be like, hey, look at this 9-year-old cool. Then
really?
This bag cost me a Lamborghini. When I was 6 years old, I lived in Atlanta, and I was broke as hell.
Am I going to have to put up with this kid for the next 10 years, too?
No.
Okay. Yeah, Fabulous was indicted by a grand jury for assaulting the mother of his two kids. I guess he was pulled scissors on him. I think there's a video of it. But, there's a couple of things. Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger regrets using the term girly men. He's apologizing for that.
What?
I don't know. No, did someone ask him to apologize?
That was an SNL bit. He really said girly men?
Yeah, he did. He called, I think whoever he's running against in 2004, economic girly men.
Oh, boo-hoo. But that's not his term.
That is weird. Why,
I thought it was the skit Hans associated and Franz.
With it? I say, don't be a girly man.
Was he a guest a host, and maybe, thing. And he was in the skit once?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think
he was.
I think it stems from the Republican National Convention in 2004.
Hans and Franz were well before that.
Right.
Now, there's another way you can tell you're Republican. Your faith in free enterprise, faith in the resourcefulness of the American people, and faith
about?
In the U.S. economy. And to those critics who are so pessimistic about our economy, I say, don't be economic girly man.
Oh, standing ovation.
Hey, can you back that up? Is that Oakland County Circuit Judge accused of drunk driving? Is she hot?
She was kind of cute.
Oh,
in that shot.
Yeah.
It's a very high angle.
Is she in cuffs?
Yeah.
Oh, she's in the back seat. Ooh.
Oh, she's good.
What's her name?
Hang on. Let me get to the beginning of this.
She's kind of hot for a judge drunk driving.
Immediately following our broadcast.
An attorney and circuit court judge nominee is accused of driving drunk, but it's what she did to try to get out of trouble.
Oh, she's the nominee.
That's raising some eyebrows. This is video of her in the backseat of a squad car during the incident.
Oh, maybe there's some good
Sean
audio.
Sean Lay is live, and Sean, just kind of walk us through what happened here.
I've been there.
Yeah, Julie McDonald, that's the attorney's name running for judge.
Nice.
She told police the morning she was arrested that she drank 4 vodka tonics the night before. Police not actually buying that. The officer's report, he is citing a lot of evidence that she was drinking and driving that morning in Royal Oak when he pulled her over and arrested her. The thing is, she is running for judge, and her name will remain on the Oakland County ballot.
Well, now I know she is.
Are you bringing me to jail?
I am.
That's Bloomfield Hills attorney Julie McDonald in the back of a Royal Oak police squad car at 10:45 in the morning on September 8th under arrest for drunk driving. The 49-year-old is also running unopposed to become an Oakland County Circuit Court judge. Listen, she asked the officer if there is anything he can do to help her out of her situation.
Is there any way? I don't drink and drive. I'm running for an office right now. This will f*** me up really bad.
No, there's not a lot of discretion I have with something like this.
No, I understand.
I can't bend the rules.
No, I gotta...
The officer was behind McDonald when he says she failed flicked a cigarette out of the window, sped up to 54 in a 45, and he says he smelled booze when she rolled down her window. McDonald could not pass all of the field sobriety tests, and then police say she blew a .102. The legal limit is .08.
It's not that high.
Do you think you should be driving right now?
Yeah.
Kids?
No, I have kids.
If you had your kids in the car, would you be driving right now?
So McDonald telling the officer there she had a lot to say, that if her kids were in the car, she would not be drinking and
She'll
driving
probably
at
win
that
now,
time.
Her name's out there.
She's unopposed.
Not returning her
Jump
calls
in the race,
to them today to get their side of the story. And Kimberly, there's more. Oakland Circuit Court's watching the case very closely, reminding everyone that McDonald not convicted of anything right now. She has pled not guilty. Board of Elections also telling us that, look, they don't believe McDonald tried to withdraw her candidacy. They do say her name's still on the ballot. Even if she did try to withdraw at this point, the ballots have been printed. Her name will remain on that ballot. Back to you.
And again, running unopposed. Okay.
I love the way you can never take anyone off the ballot. You can never get anyone off city council. You can never get anyone. I mean, they can miss work for a year straight, and you can't take away a judgeship. It's just,
you know, what you can take down though is the Facebook page to have Julie McDonald for judge has been taken down.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Wait, it was 10:45 in the morning though.
Yeah, party. Ooh, party hour. It's always 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's a cute picture.
I think the only time that I've ever been sort of drunk at that hour was after one of our third shift parties.
Yeah, there was some.
It makes for an awkward rest of the day.
It is weird driving in the light when you've been drinking.
Yeah.
Coming out of a bar.
Yeah.
After a morning radio show, Dugan's or something. Yeah.
But I mean, how does she?
Shocking.
That's the thing, though. She gets elected here because she's unopposed, and people are just going to scribble her name in because it's the only one there. And then all these people who get DUIs are going to go in and see her, and she's going to be like,
"Well, she would have to recuse herself.
Shame on you."
No, wouldn't she have to
recuse? She's going to be even tougher.
Is there something, really? You think?
I don't know.
She's running unopposed. So, is Gabe Leland still in city council? By the way,
yeah, he spoke yesterday.
Oh. What'd Gabe say?
Good for him. Oh, he's still going to work. He hasn't been convicted of anything.
Oh, okay.
Still going to go to the meetings. Still going to perfectly manicure his beard.
He says innocent until proven guilty.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Uh-oh, Ford stock down.
Yeah, it's at a it's at
everything's
11,
down.
11-year low or something. And of course, I own Ford stock, too.
Full disclosure.
It's always a great feeling. 6-year low. Yeah, full disclosure. 6-year low. And I've owned it the entire time.
Well, they said they're cutting a bunch of jobs, too, around the world. 25,000 jobs.
They would prop the stock up a little bit.
But everything got dragged down today, too.
Stocks don't make any sense. You know, oh, they let go 30,000 people, and the stock goes up.
Well, you don't get rid of people unless it makes economic
sense. Well, the assumption is that they shed a lot of cost.
Up 100, up 200, up 1,000, up 150, up 90, up 63. I said, good, that's better.
All righty, you want to get us out of here, Brandon?
I can do that.
I can do that. Thanks to Mark Ridley. And John Lovitz is there. There are tickets available for John Lovitz.
You think don't tell anybody. Well, we're
going to be doing more interviews.
Say you'll buy a ticket if he does an interview.
Okay.
Oh, don't do that to Mark, though.
Oh, Mark's done all he can. He's gotten us a lot of great people over the years. Well, what's Richard Jenny, that's a name I don't think of that often, but that was the weirdest thing when... Wow.
Yeah.
He had a great career, too. He was flying high.
Phenomenal.
I forgot what... I think he just... It was... Well, why else someone do that? I was terribly depressed.
I really only knew him from The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Oh, that was his lowest moment, in my opinion.
That
was what he wanted to do. He wanted to be a movie star. I think he was upset about that.
He was the sidekick in that flick.
His stand-up was great.
Oh, his stand-up was incredible. And he was funny as hell. Thanks to Gary Graff, too, the Rock and Roll Insider. Read him in the Oakland Press. Follow him, Graff on Music. And
just know that he goes to things before you and has better tickets than you.
And he respects embargoes.
I know, that was really funny. What if he's ever broken an embargo?
I think he got his point across, though.
Which was?
Said there was some sleeping going on.
Not to violate the... That doesn't violate the embargo, though. Not about what happened on screen.
It's a little cryptic.
I'm surprised that this movie is just coming out. We've heard about it for how long?
I know.
They've been hyping it?
Crazy.
Jeez.
We'll stay up on that Queen embargo. And we'll see you tomorrow.